Biden has had a very busy week here in Saudi Arabia. He's had dinner with many princes and very important people. And he just...
Oh, my God. What the heck? What did Titus just... I can't believe what I just saw. Did that really happen?
Oh, my God.
Yes, oh, my God. Did that happen?
Yes, it did.
I was on the floor.
Trying to slide into the ring.
I just move on.
I can't believe this.
Okay, now.
Oh, my God. Here's the replay. Titus O'Neil trying to get into the ring. And Titus O'Neil tripped and went head first through the apron underneath the ring. And Titus is ticked off now.
Land again.
Check the size of
this. This reminds me. Oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, my God. That was the single greatest moment from this past Friday's
ladies and gentlemen,
greatest World Rail Rumble.
Titus World Slide.
Well, here we are sliding back into your podcast rotation.
On another Wednesday.
Tickling your earlobes.
Banging episode of the Matt Mania podcast. It's
tickle, tickle.
Awesome to be back here for episode 82.
Ooh.
We got a little bit of a beer situation over
here. No, man, I saved it.
A spillage?
Sure.
No, he saved it.
You just slurped that up.
My name is Megaran. As always, it's a pleasure to be in the building
jacket.
With you.
Sure.
When y'all have off-mic conversations, let's have them off-mic.
Lead Booker is spoken.
Anyway. So anyway, we're chilling. And we're in the place. We're having good. A good time. And man, thank you, Titus, for making Greatest Royal Rumble the greatest pay-per-view.
Isn't it crazy
already
that
now the best of the year.
That's how he'll be forever remembered in wrestling history from that one moment?
There's nothing he can do to overtake that, like unless he wins the world title, which might not ever happen.
Well, now he'll be a jabroni for life in the WWE.
Well, just think about it. Not like he'll ever be a Hall of Famer.
Well,
But remember how Kurt Angle did all his sticks. Mm-hmm. So what, would he have to walk out and then stumble and trip or slide to the podium?
No, because he'll never be able to replicate the actual authentic.
It won't
of
be
that
as
slide.
As real as that first time.
Yo,
he's a big bumbling dude. Like he's a big guy.
He's done it before.
Big feet. Like I heard he stumbled before.
Yeah, in NXT they were doing like that keg carry.
Oh yeah.
And they showed videos of that. And
that's right.
He was stumbling and fumbling.
Yeah, man, he's just got big feet.
I'm honestly surprised it doesn't happen more often the way some of those guys come barreling down there.
Got big old boots on, like sweat could be on there from somebody getting thrown out the last time.
And let's figure, most of these guys are top heavy.
Yeah.
He's just another lucky body that on business, the side pal. Of the ring that he slid into that there wasn't no ladder.
He went all the way
right
under.
There where,
that's what I thought. If there were tables under there, he could have freaking broke his neck. But thank goodness.
Yeah, that was.
Instead, we just laugh.
Incredible.
Right. Instead, Titus, you left us with a hilarious moment. We appreciate that, man.
You know, I hope he gets through this. Like, I hope this turns into maybe a push or something funny. You know how they turn like R-Truth into like kind of the idiot of the show.
He'll get messing things up. He'll get such a push. He'll get pushed off of this and pushed off of that.
Oh,
and pushed into and pushed under.
Neo X with the zingers.
Dang, Titus. Anyway, we're here. We got a full house as always.
Jabroni.
It is the whole crew. And to my left, there is.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boy, the Neo X on the Matt Mania podcast.
What up? And to his left.
Hello.
T called the villain in the building. What up?
Yeah.
Villain.
Yo, what up? It is Brock Knowledge.
Yeah. So here we are again. After we're in between two pay-per-views, I guess you can call it. We got Greatest Royal Rumble, and then we got Backlash.
Or
I feel like
trash lash, you said? What would you call it?
Backtrash.
Backtrash. There you go.
Dude, that was strictly an off-air joke, but it's all right.
No, I like it.
Backtrash.
There is nothing off-air.
We'll see. Yeah, that's true. I'm not excited about it yet, but hopefully they surprise me. Greatest Royal Rumble, I thought was a good show.
It was entertaining.
Very entertaining. Yeah. Nothing major storyline-wise happened, but.
Right.
But still, and I feel like Greatest Royal Rumble took a lot of the wind out the sails of Backlash.
Yeah.
Seeing as how it was just a couple of days after it. I feel like even maybe an announcer might have said it or something, or I might have just seen it online. But I feel the same way.
It was quite the spectacle.
Just having two shows.
But having them back to back like that is
a
lot.
Well, even because Raw and SmackDown was the go-home show for Backlash, but normally you feel like you have like more build leading up, but the build seemed like it was leading up to Greatest Royal Rumble instead of Backlash.
Well, it was almost like they did a week to build the Greatest Royal Rumble, plugging in promos and whatnot and what have you. And then now they're taking this week's Raw SmackDown, putting it to Backlash.
But that's the thing. Greatest Royal Rumble had more than a week of build-up. That's what the problem is. Because even the Jericho, Rusev, back-and-forth stuff.
Yeah.
But it was 3 weeks from WrestleMania, though. So, like, it wasn't even a month from and WrestleMania to Greatest Royal Rumble.
You know what's funny? Okay. I felt like they reused the WrestleMania set from 2017.
You know, I could see it was very similar.
The big ramp and the rafter and the pillars posts.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't find the roller coaster part.
They couldn't get the roller coaster over there, I guess.
Similar. Hey, you know what? I do want to give a big shout out to Seth Rollins for being the only superstar in WWE history that knew how to rip the belt off in one try. That was impressive.
How about that? Because that never happens. They always struggle with it a lot.
Yeah.
But he was like,
it was another heist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like they were comparing it to the heist he did at WrestleMania.
Oh, and when with Brock and
Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Right.
So he's becoming the master of the heist.
Yeah, he's becoming.
I don't want to diminish it. That was incredibly impressive. He just, the way he springboarded off the ropes.
Yeah, it was.
Onto the ladder.
It was almost like Shelton Benjamin-esque.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like reminiscent of.
But then I was like, the fact that he does that springboard when he does that move, like, what does he do, a springboard?
He has a springboard clothesline and a springboard knee.
Yeah. So he should be good at springboarding and the shit.
Springboarding. We do have a special guest who will be showing up a little later on. But for now, as always, we start to show off with the putover. We all talk about four things outside of the universe of wrestling that we are into. So I'm going to start with myself. I never get to do this often, so I'm going to put myself over.
Hey!
That's right.
Got a
I'm
couple
awesome.
Shows coming up too.
I got shows. We got music coming up. A lot of things are happening. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of albums out of the backlog for me. EPs, joint EPs with other folks. And so the Emerald Knights EP with Bag of Tricks Cat is coming in June. So we put out the first single, which is called Heatstroke. You can check that out on all your retailers. You can pre-order the album now. It's called Emerald Knights 2.
And that was produced by G1, right?
G1, who was G1 on the show last week.
G1 to the rescue.
Shout out to G1. That was a good show, man. I had fun listening to it and editing it. Y'all did good. y'all killed it. As usual, editing is always fun when I'm not around. But anyway, it's a good show. So I'm putting myself over. Heatstroke, Emerald Knights 2. Go get it if you get it. Send me a photo of your pre-order, and I will send you a gift. It's a fair trade.
Fair trade, y'all.
Yeah.
Remember, too, Mega Ran will also be performing here in Phoenix at May 12th, 2018. Mm-hmm. Mega Trill.
That's right.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the Trill Shop.
Yeah, shout out
to
the Trill Shop.
They just started off, and they were doing the grand opening show. Dumper's going to be there, a lot of folks. They're making special Mega Ran slip mats
Ooh.
For vinyl heads out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I got to get a pair
they're
of those.
Be dope.
You've seen them, huh?
Yeah.
Fly. Show me.
Super fly.
Or I'll just ask Dumper.
I think it's mostly the same art of the flyer.
Of the flyer? Yeah. Which is fucking dope.
But yeah,
which looks good. Yeah. You got like that beefy looking, Mega Man.
He's got a jetpack
on. Wearing Pumas. Yeah, and he's got like a medallion with a Mega Buster missile launcher. You know, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, man.
And I was surprised, too. You're going to be coming back with MC Chris and
Bit Force. Uh-huh. On the 22nd of May.
Yeah, at the Rebel Lounge.
A couple days before Comic Con starts.
Yeah.
Then when are you and Trix getting on the road?
In June for the release. So we'll be out the week of the album, which will be around the June 20th or something like that.
Are you guys going east or?
We're going to stay southwest. We're going to do like Vegas, Albuquerque, Tucson.
I'm sorry.
We should all roll out and do Vegas. Tucson.
Yo. Yeah.
Maybe LA.
Rock Vegas. Knows Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo.
Not Tucson, though. Rock don't go to that shit.
Nah, he does not mess with Tucson.
I think we all know Vegas. Vegas we had a wild time in Vegas last time we were all
We've
there.
We all had some great memories.
You
going
to go to the
Vegas.
Beauty bar again in Vegas?
Yeah, yeah.
I like Beauty Bar. Place. Yeah, that place is fun.
Dope
yeah.
venue. All right. So,
I have to give you a little bit of heat,
though. Are the Time Crashers playing your show again?
Maybe.
I might come out just for them.
They're dope. Real quick. No, not for me. For them, though.
Yeah. And Dancing Jesus.
Oh,
remember,
oh,
no. Jesus was giving out gifts when we were there.
Vegas, yo. Hashtag Vegas.
I got to give Mega Ran a little heat because when he put out the email, to all the Matt Maniacs and Mega Ran fans announcing all of his shows, guess what picture he used to promote the podcast?
Which one?
The nut shot.
Me taking the low blow.
It's a classic shot, man.
It is a classic shot.
It was a good shot.
And,
man.
I mean, it's a great shot, one. I mean, art captures aren't always great. Shout out to whoever the photographer is that day.
I think it was,
it's always somebody different.
It was Anaya.
But yeah. I think that one was Anaya.
She's like, y'all weird.
She's like, yeah. She's like, you guys are weird. But, yeah, we did the nut shot perfectly. Shout out to Shinsuke for
Damn
inspiring
Shinsuke.
That with shout his out. New
Shout
speak,
out to AJ.
His new special move. Somebody needs to get AJ a cup. Seriously. I think they're leading up to that. At some point, he's got to be like, aha, I got a cup.
Well, you know, the match at Whacklash is no DQ.
Uh-huh.
So anything goes.
Nut shots all day.
Yeah, well, had I'm to be that.
Ding, ding.
He's going to return the favor. He's going to return the favor.
That was the only, that was the only next.
He's going to go to a pro wrestling tees and buy a Bullet Club cup.
A Bullet Cup. A Bullet Cup.
A Bullet Cup.
A Bullet Cup.
Oh, man. So, who's next? Let's see. I'm going to go around in a different order. Teak, what you putting over?
Hey.
I was going to put over some new music, but then I didn't remember if Rock put this over last week or not. Did you put over Jim Jones?
We talked about it. Yeah. That was part of my.
Is new Jim Jones out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it good?
It's all Heatmakers production.
It's not all Heatmakers. I listened to it, and it's not all, but even better. The ones that are good. It's got some cool and it's got some cool and Dre on there. Some Epidemics production.
Okay. Really?
Which I fuck with them.
Joint with Jada.
Yeah, he's got a joint with Jada on there called Dust and Powder. Mm-hmm. That first joint, Three Quarters, is dope.
Yep.
He's got a track with Mozzie called Bangin'. I made that banging kind of famous.
Doesn't he got one called like fried rice or Chinese fried rice or some shit?
Yeah, he does. Yes. Like, yeah, so it's like a return to form for Dipset type Jim Jones.
Dipset's actually going to be in L.A. I think it's like July 15th, and I am seriously thinking about going out for that.
I need to go to a Dipset show because I missed Cam the last time he was out here for
and they're not
whatever
coming
reason in. That was. And he don't go on tour that much.
No. He doesn't. None of them do really. And then they typically come this way. They don't come out here often.
Yeah. So definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Word. All right. So Rock Knowledge, what you got?
I'm actually going to be putting over. It comes out this Friday, but he's dropped three singles so far. Royce of 5'9 is dropping The Book of Ryan.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. He has not missed, in my opinion, with the first three drops. Tomorrow, Thursday, he is dropping what I believe is the single with Eminem. That's the teaser video on his Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what kind of M we get on that. Because I don't know if you guys saw Royce's Breakfast Club interview, which is really good. Okay. It's like 45 minutes long. He does talk about Slaughterhouse. He does talk about his relationship with Joe. And he kind of also talks about how he listens to pretty much anything Eminem does, and he pretty much thinks it's all good, like doesn't think anything's bad. You know, that's his guy, though.
Well, do you think Royce and M have had bad collaborations?
I mean, bad collaborations. I don't want to say that. Did I like Bad Meets Evil the album? Not as much as I would had it dropped in like 2000 when it should have.
The first, you're talking about
they have one album together. They have one album together, and they had originally had like three singles and a song on M's album originally.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, you just never know what kind of M you're going to get. Like, what version of M, like, what version of rapping M are we getting? Is it woke M? Is it sing song M? Is it Slim Shady? Because I wouldn't be mad if he was Slim Shady for 16 bars again.
What did you think of the last Prime album? And double-sided question. What did you think of the last Prime album, and what do you think about Royce releasing this so soon after just releasing the Prime album?
I'll answer the second question first, because they asked him about this on the Breakfast Club. Okay. And he pretty much said that's just the current climate. That's how things are getting released these days. It's more about putting the shit out there.
Okay.
I would have waited.
I don't think so, because there was a long time after the last...
Are you talking about the lack of time between Prime 2 and or Prime 1 and Prime 2?
No, I'm talking about between Prime 2
and
this.
Book of Ryan. That he literally makes announced me feel the like cover like
a week later.
Day or two after.
Yeah.
That kind of makes it feel like it's a cover up to Prime 2.
No, I don't think so.
Like he wasn't proud of Prime 2.
Yeah, Prime 2 didn't do as good. No, and it's way. Like let's get something else like out because he has it.
Is this independent? His new album, or is it on a label? Is it on Shady?
I think it's on him. I think it's him.
Okay. It's not even like through E1 or anybody like. I'm really curious because it could have just been a label saying we have a date.
Layers was independent, I believe.
Okay. Through his label, because then it might be the same way there.
I'm curious. Or maybe he just had distribution and maybe not a label pushing.
And I fuck with Layers heavy.
I thought Layers was great. I mean, I haven't given Prime 2 the full listen, but the first three or four tracks, I was really into them. I love that.
Oh, you know what? E1.
E1. It's Heaven Studios okay. and E1s. He's getting E1 distribution.
Okay, so it's, they're mainly distro, but yeah, like you would think that they would be like, hey man, this is too close to this other record.
Yeah.
And work, spread them out.
I definitely don't think, yeah. I don't think that, I don't think it's a cover up for what, I think Prime 2 was dope. It was different.
Mm-hmm. But you know what they're saying now, and I don't know if like numbers are correct or whatever, but just with like streaming, they're saying like you get like a week. Like you get your streams in and you get your streams out. Like for the bulk of the streams.
That's how it's always been with records. That's why first week sales are so important.
Yeah.
That first 7 days is like the most excited anybody's gonna be about that record.
And then whatever else is coming out after that. Like they were saying that about J. Cole. They were like, oh, Kanye's talking about he's coming out, Royce is coming out, all these people. It was like nobody came out around when J. Cole just dropped. He was like, he got his streams and dipped because if somebody else comes out, they're going to cut into your streams.
And that's kind of the wave. That's like that new wave, though.
I bet Smoke Dizza is not happy. He had 420 for a long time as his release date. And then Cole was like, oh, by the way, 420 album drop. Like, so you just can't.
Yeah, and Dizza's album came out on 420. It did. Not for sale.
And, but, you know, but Cole was all
which
the
is also dope.
Of 420. But, yeah, Not For Sale is dope,
too. Yeah, shout out to Smoke Dizza.
It's make a sure hard.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, it's.
It's a hard thing with this climate, man, and it is. I agree with Royce that you do have to be fast and, you know, to keep the people's attention. And it's like, but a guy like Royce, because he's one of the most complex lyricists there are. You know, that's why layers is layers for a reason. Like, he literally has layers to his bars.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like his music can be quickly, easily consumable.
Right, and you that's what sucks. It's like, how can you call something a classic in a week? How can you listen to and decipher and understand and feel what somebody created in a week? It's like, just because you can stream this today and this tomorrow or even this the next, it's like you should want to sit with something. But that's, again, that's the climate that we're in. It's like they're not.
Some people will sit with it.
I feel like
the diehards will.
The majority of people, though.
It's just that the rest of the world is moving on.
Are gonna play it once, maybe twice as soon as it drops. And then they're probably going to go back to what they were listening to before.
Or people like me who I don't even listen to it as soon as it drops. I wait until like, I wait until it cools down. And
oh,
then
Friday
I go
morning,
listen,
the first thing I'm doing at work is press
and play. That's a smart way to listen to music. I mean, I'm not like that. I want to hear it first thing. But it's a smart way to listen to it. Like,
no,
I'm going to put it in the queue. I'm going to get to it when I get to it. And when I have time, let it cool down. Because that initial first day talk is always best album ever.
Because when I listen to it, when I listen to it, if it's fired, then that's how I actually feel about it.
Right.
But
people want to be the first person to have an opinion on it.
Yeah. You know, but I like, I like Teek's,
and that's dangerous.
I like Teek's mindset though, because you have that that specific fact that how can you ingest and appreciate, you know, the music in 1 week. I mean, I remember back in the day, I would listen to an album for months, you know, and then you learn all the words and
it's different.
You're able to recite
it's
but
different.
But
you
we're so we're so consumed with like with
you know
with
is,
information
though.
We're just like
it's just
it's
too much
information
it's
gets
accessibility
thrown at us. Everything
yeah,
is in the palm
like
of
in
your
a
hand
snap, you know, and we become consumed with it, and we become, you know, kind of like, yeah, oh, this is it. This is done. What's
next?
On to the next
Give me
thing.
Something else.
You
now
know,
we literally have too much information
it
right
has
now.
It has its pros and its cons, because with the streaming, like, if you're paying for the monthly service or whatever, you get to find out about so many artists you never would have heard of.
Or
I found out
like.
About a lot of different artists just by an album ending and then something else playing after that. And I'm like, oh, shit, who is this?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I actually will go and find that person and look them up and be like, check some of their other stuff out. If it's dope.
It's but good the, size to streaming, definitely.
Yeah, but
because
the other
of
thing
that.
Is just like, some of these artists, like ones that aren't rushing their project, if it took an artist a year or more to make something, or even if it's somebody's first project where they say this took your whole lifetime up to make this project
and you
can somebody listen
day.
To it and then they're already like this is dope or this is trash.
I wrote a line about that today. I just wanted to say it. I say I worked on an album for 100 days, adjusted it and tweaked it 100 ways. You gave it a second and was unamazed.
Yeah.
Like, that's real.
That's
like,
reality.
That's
is the reality of a musician.
Like, yo, I worked on this forever, and it's like, skip. You know
and
what I mean?
You know, that's kind of going back to, that's why you should, you should always appreciate, you know, if you're in this niche market, you should always appreciate those fans to the fullest, just because of the fact that those people are going to be around then, now, and forever.
Hey, question for
good
you guys.
Good way to segue into wrestling.
I mean?
That was good. That
because,
was quick. Question for you guys.
But I'm just saying because, like, I've gone back and listened to Teek stuff and to Mega Rant stuff on Pandora or on YouTube or what have you. And I don't know. Just I guess you can, you know my age, but I just, I like what I like.
That's the thing. Older generations are willing to do that. But I do believe, and maybe that's just the optimist in me,
yeah.
Cream rises to the top.
Always.
Good music will find a way to be heard and appreciated. Yeah.
Well, let me say this, and this is an incident that just happened to me the other day. So somebody, and you shouted out Wally or whatever, who got the pin.
Yeah.
But on his post, this guy was like, oh, yeah. He was like, I don't. Teak ain't really my style, even though he's dope.
Oh, that was Jason Parrish, wasn't it?
I don't. Is that it? And the I hater. Was like,
I think it was.
Shout out to Jason.
Damn, he said the hater. Is that what he know for? I don't know. He wasn't my friend on Facebook. What, he sent me a request. Say? He said that he was like, I don't really rock with Teak's music, even though he's dope. And I was like, well, did you listen to the new album or the video that I put out? And he was like, well, we're not friends on Facebook, so I'm out of the loop. So I sent him the video, The Beautiful Loss with Open My Eagle. He says, oh, that's a 10 out of 10. And then he's giving me all these reasons why it's a 10 out of 10. I was like, well, that sounds like a good enough reason, if any, to go check the album out.
Buy my shit.
And then I was like, I told him that, and I was like, you might have misjudged me by saying I'm not your style, because you might not really know what I have to offer. Yeah, and that's just the way it is out here with so much music available.
You're getting flooded.
It's like somebody doesn't even have to take the time to be like, oh, let me listen to more than one of this person's songs. Let me see if I like this person. It's just snap judgments.
That's people. Real. Now, let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think would happen in today's current climate with streaming and whatnot? The classic albums that we revere, say B.I.G. drops Ready to Die in 2018. Whew. Is it going to be revered the same way it is in this climate with the way things are set up?
No.
Wait. That same exact album?
That album or...
No.
Anything.
But Big was hot.
Any classic from our generation.
Kendrick just got a Pulitzer. So, like, people are listening to good music that's well-promoted and well-packaged. And you know, like, Kendrick's videos were super top-notch. Like, it kept the life of that album going.
Well, you had the machine.
So, I'm
him.
Saying no.
Yeah, and so what I say that to I'm say, Big's that album, would have had the climate, machine.
But that album it would have this had climate machine. Would not be... Hot.
If no, you but it would have had the Bad Boy Machine, yeah, which was the hottest label in the game. So it would have Diddy would have been shimmying
available
that take that
then.
On everything. Yeah, people would stream it 10 million times. J. Cole just broke the streaming record. I feel like Biggie or Tupac's albums with all the talk around them would have done the same.
Yeah.
It would have done the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to believe that. That's
you
just me
it,
being
I want to
believe
that too. Would have been called like a classic in that
but there's a lot of albums that
would have
been like, nah, we ain't talking about it. Like, I remember when Illmatic came out, it was like, it was a classic. I came into that album trying to figure out why it was not a classic. You know what I mean? Like, that's what my brain was doing. It's like, wow. Source said 5 mics, we'll see. You know what I mean? So I go in like with a brain thinking, oh, well, One Time for Your Mind is not that good. You know, which is one song out of 9 to be like, well, the hooks aren't that great. You know what I mean?
Maybe it was like 4 3/4.
You start like picking it apart because everybody else said it was a classic.
But you know what? I think we had talked about that before where you said like, oh, you saw it in the source. When we were talking about people writing about things and actually having their opinion and not just being copied and pasted. So like, that's why you would buy the source and stuff like that. It's like, oh, they said this album is this. Mm-hmm. Even if your reason was like, oh, I'm going to listen to it to find out why it's not. And the next person would have been like, oh, they said it's 5 mics. I'm going to go buy this because it's 5 mics.
Yeah.
But that was actually somebody's opinion. It wasn't just like, Nas dropped Illmatic.
five mics back listen. When it mattered. That was all you wanted, because you know if you got 5 mics in the source, everyone is going to go buy
when
your
did
shit.
That, was, matter.
That was the gospel.
When that
did
was it stop Dave mattering?
When did it stop mattering?
It was the Dave Meltzer. Benzino? It was the Dave Meltzer. It was the Lil' Kim album.
Dave Mays and Benzino eras when that went to
shit. Oh, yeah. That's when,
yeah, that's
like,
what I said. When
they
did,
were
the,
getting
when did the
four
mic
and a half.
Stop mattering?
That was back when the source had like multiple page ads for Made Men for months on end with no album.
Was the clips 5 mic the last 5 mic that mattered?
Which one? Hell Hath No Fury?
I think so.
Yeah.
Was it the last 5? Was
no, I'm not saying that's the last 5 mic. I'm saying it's not the last 5 mic that mattered.
No, they did a revisit.
What's the 5 mic after that?
Because one thing they said, they did a revisit episode. Like, maybe it was like the 100th issue. And they were like, yo, let's go back. They said, Ready to Die got 4.5. They were like, it's 5.
Oh, yeah. They gave people 5 mics that didn't
get. Yeah, they corrected a lot of mics. Okay. Outkast, Aquemini was 4.5.
Right, that got 5, yeah.
They like, went back and revisited.
This Buster was not partial. We're giving them 5 mics.
Right, right. They're like, whoever wrote this was hating.
They retracted.
So, let's fix this. Yeah. Tupac, Me Against the World. They're like, oh, that's 5. You know what I mean? So they went back and corrected.
Best album.
Because, again, it was based on the writer. That but person those were could have had an East Coast bias, could have had a West Coast bias.
I'm saying I don't remember a 5 mics.
I think
after
that might have been the last one that mattered, because I remember Lil Kim getting 4.5 or 5.
Wait, why?
For
the jump, the one with the jump off on it,
Naked Truth, Bella Mafia. Oh, was it Naked Truth?
Naked Truth.
Because I remember that,
and I was like,
and she was dating Dave Mays,
and I'm like,
I remember. And so it's like, okay, hold on. Getting 5 mics was because their album wasn't selling well.
A little bit of a conflict,
but they got 5 mics. That was what the big deal surrounding that was.
And that's even funnier that she got 4.5 or 5 for that album. I'm like, dog, Biggie wrote Hardcore.
Right.
So Biggie wrote Hardcore, so Hardcore should be the classic.
If anything,
well,
that would
just
be
just because you can write good don't mean somebody delivers it good.
That don't mean they can deliver
you
right.
Could tell damn near every verse on that album was penned by Big.
I bought it just because of that.
You know, somebody has said, I think this was on a Joe Budden podcast, I think Rock would know because he listens to it
every week,
when they were talking about how behind every female rapper there's a guy that's been at her lyrics. And then it was like Foxy Brown had Jay-Z, Nas, and Big.
Right, the greatest rappers ever writing for
they
her.
They all co-signed and was writing for her.
That is weird.
Yeah, Inga Marshawn.
So that's what led to like people thinking, oh, Nicki Minaj, oh, she's not writing her stuff. You know what I mean? Like, even though she was just dope.
But right, I think they looked on Cardi her had a bunch, that a bunch came of out, writers, Cardi's like, got a bunch, and then on Nicki's new song, it was just her and somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you brought up, you said that the source back in the day was basically the Dave Meltzer Wrestling Observer of hip-hop.
That's a nice that's a nice comparison.
And that's a great segue, because Dave Meltzer got in some hot water this week. Have you guys heard about
what did
this?
What
So during the Greatest Royal Rumble, people were like, hey, Dave, why don't WWE do an all-woman pay-per-view to balance out Greatest Royal Rumble?
The all-male pay-per-view, yeah.
Why don't they do that? Why don't they just have a show in America or anywhere else? Because other country would have it.
Yeah.
Why not just do that? Just to be like, yo, these women, they ain't got nothing to do. Let's have them have a show.
Oh, God.
When I saw that, I was thinking back of my mind, they just made that Women's Royal Rumble.
I don't know what he's about to say, so I'm probably about to be so disappointed.
So I thought this was a little bit, it was a little bit problematic.
Let me just take off my headphones really
again,
quick.
I understand Dave's point, but he kind of went about it wrong. He's like, he quoted tweet,
women be shopping.
Quoted the tweet.
What?
No.
No, he didn't say that. He quoted the tweet and said, the guy was like, Dave, why don't they do an all women
pay-per-view?
And he was like, replace the word women with blacks.
Yo.
And then see how problematic that would sound to you.
Now wait.
No, slow down. Wait. See, this is again.
Look at
this
Rock.
Was if you
wait for a second.
If only we had video for to see Rock Knowledge's face right now. Dave was about to get canceled. I was
Rand
like,
told me what happened.
Yeah,
and I was like, hey. Maybe he means it like this.
But let's slow it down.
And I'm not going to say anything. I just said,
yeah.
Maybe
let's
he means
break
it
down
like
the context
this.
Here.
And this is what I said, and then what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He does a tweet, and he says basically what I just said.
Like, oh, yeah.
He realizes that what he said was fucked up. and he tried to
God
say,
damn it, Uncle Dave.
This is what I meant by saying
He's
that.
Like, don't you see why it would be dumb to be like, let's do an all-black pay-per-view? Like, just because the one
Doing
pay-per-view is not
equal. An all-black
pay-per-view
is more racist than...
That an all women's pay per view would be sexist.
Like, if you feel like a pay per view being all white, the best thing to do was then to do an all black one, then you're thinking racist off top.
Yep.
Right.
And that's where your mind automatically goes, because that's what
Dave
that's
had a good point. Yeah. He just like, did a terrible job articulating.
Yeah. He said
the
blacks. You never say the blacks.
You never say that.
Ever.
Negros. Los Negros. No,
said Uncle Dave
he
almost
said
got
the black. He was about to be canceled. Like WrestleRap went in, was like, it's over. Everybody blocked Dave.
It would have been better if he put in parentheses women, blacks, you know, Mexicans.
Yeah, anybody else. Any group
midget
of people.
Wrestling.
Yeah, any
you think
group
they will
of
ever
people.
Do an all women's pay per view?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. But his point, his point is like,
well,
yo, that's
Classics
not the way to combat
that was.
Combat inequality. To go and just say, oh, basically, we're going to make our own.
And I agree. Not even with a different company, just like within the WWE, if it's even that, if to say like, oh, last weekend y'all had the all male one, this weekend you're gonna have an all female one. I know you were saying like, oh, the Mae Young, like that's like a tournament or something, yeah, but they also had a cruiserweight tournament, so they right. had one for women, they had one for small people,
yeah,
like it's not
word
word. I'm next saying that's what they like the, to be called,
the black tournament, no,
right, I'm saying you don't want to, but you don't want to get into that territory, you don't want to be like, oh, the all Mexican tournament, the all the all black tournament.
It's like triple, you imagine rice. Yeah, like, can you imagine that if they did an, like an all black pay per view in the Attitude Era, it'd be the most like racist.
Oh my god, it would be
imagine if it was
all WWE presents Cookout 2018.
Vince McMahon with do a do-rag
in Atlanta.
Do you guys
what up,
watch the all Jewish pay per view?
What?
No, I'm saying like that's the same. You gonna watch an all Jewish pay per view?
Lahayim.
Then the all Syrian one. Like it would just be too far. So
like that's
so. Shout out to Dave. Learn how to better articulate yourself. Yeah. Now, second
Dave,
part of why
as much stuff as you write and as much stuff as you talk about, you should be able to.
You're a type writer,
better.
Bruh.
Come on,
are we that type? Don't believe the hype. Don't believe. All right. That. So now, Dave also was on the verge of cancellation from a kid, basically saying, like a young kid who responded to him was like, "Yo, Dave, Greatest Royal Rumble makes the third pay per view in a row where you were wrong about the end result. You said." Roman was winning in an audience that would cheer for him in
Excuse
Saudi
me.
Arabia.
That's what I thought. Dave Meltzer,
you also said
Roman was going to win that.
You said sense. This, you said that. Three pay-per-views in a row, you've been wrong. Should we just take what you say as a grain of salt? Like, you're not an insider.
Like
maybe you're just
Pritchard
a guy
says.
With yeah. an opinion. And this is what Bruce Pritchard says every episode. Like, yo, he's a guy who gives you the best possible solution,
yeah.
but he doesn't have any insight.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
Or even if he does, and that's what somebody else was responding, like, yo, stuff changes, bro. Like, I can't be right all the time. And then, like, three pay per views in a row, Dave.
Yeah, come but on, not Dave. To mention, stuff gets changed last minute, just like they said, like with
stuff
the Rock Roman match, they were like, Vince, you know? I'm
but
not
did
there.
That really happen, though?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
How
I'm
do we
not,
know?
I
we don't
said,
know.
I'm not there.
We don't know.
But that's just what
it's
comes
wrestling
out.
Lore.
Insiders,
lore.
And I'm yeah. using air quotes, insiders are telling you things that they just make it up.
And that's kind of like what Bruce Pritchard says on his podcast. Sometimes Vince McMahon is like the wind. His ideas and his thoughts, they change like the wind. And sometimes if he's just feeling like some type of way, he will do something some type of way.
Wow.
You know? Right. And that's the other thing that I,
yeah,
that
not
I
us,
give to
that's
Bruce
not
Pritchard.
That's not knowing.
Because
that's
he
us
says,
using...
Was he there?
But
no.
then if you write
an
a whole
educated guess.
But if you're charging people like Wrestling Observer does, you're charging people $10 a month or whatever to read your long written out thoughts
for like the VIP package.
You're reading his long written out thoughts that are supposedly backstage insider info and then it's all wrong. Should you keep paying?
Yeah,
but
did you read about the
paying.
Fact that did you read about the stuff that was going on where they said that they had somebody feeding false information? To try to find out who was actually
off
giving off information.
The he's giving out. I
yeah.
believe that.
So then, what if he's getting the false information that's purposely being fed to
Possible.
Him?
So then should you pay him?
No.
Yep. No, well, because that means that he's actually getting backstage
his
information.
His informant is whack, though.
His sources,
If
yeah.
his source is whack, then I'm not paying
but
him.
But that means that he's able to get sources backstage if you have a backstage
but this
source
is all hearsay.
To begin with.
It's
he could be
like,
fantasy
yeah.
booking like us.
It's like Dave
throwing
Meltzer,
darts at a wall.
Brian Alvarez.
He and can. Then, I'm not saying, and, I'm not
know,
saying pay for it.
Thing.
I'm saying be your own judge. If you think that his yeah. information is correct, it might be.
And, this
and it
is,
might not be.
And this is why wrestling fans from all over the world should
there
listen
it is.
To
wrestling might be
the
fake,
Matt Mania
and it
podcast.
Might not be.
That's a great point, El Neo X.
Yeah.
You guys should be listening to fans' perspectives
exactly.
on this.
Exactly.
Because we're not claiming to be experts.
No, we're not.
We're
just
talking
like
about
you.
What we like and
That's
what
right.
we enjoy. Well, Nothing. Not quite. We're a little better than them.
Yeah.
Because we have a podcast.
Hey.
But
everybody has
time,
a podcast.
Yeah, we're just guessing.
We're
and sometimes you might be like, hey, I like that guess. I'm going to run with it. I read y'all stuff online, and I'll be like, hey, I'm going to talk about that on the podcast. Because that idea was
and,
a good
absolutely.
One.
And that's kind of
why, appreciate
and that's kinda why I like listening to, you know, Not Sam, the
yeah,
Sam,
yeah,
Roberts
Sam
podcast.
Roberts.
Although he's kind of, you know, weird on the network, he's got a good podcast. Like, he really mm-hmm. does.
Not a big Sam Roberts guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
I'm not a super big fan, but I
yeah.
like how detailed he goes through stuff. Like,
yeah,
he
so
he did a whole episode about the shakeup. And, I mean, of course, it was all wrong, but it was just stuff that he thought would be
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I like that. I like the fact that he's a fan.
He can live vicariously
with
him.
With ideas.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. So shout out to Sam Roberts. Yeah. Not Sam. I saw him a few times down in New Orleans.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Hey, Ran.
Yeah.
Before we dive right into any of this, GRR.
We got our guests outside, though. So
no,
I'm going to
bring these guys in. I thought
we can't. It's going to be too packed in here.
Yeah, Dan the man's in here.
You want to bring him in?
I thought Dan was going to bring him in.
Bring him in.
We got to do the new
segment.
We were
going to do
with no chairs in the house.
Because since he was already talking about Dave Meltzer, I was like,
we bring it on the heat, brother.
Bring it on the heat. We're going to start this heat check I was talking about. Somebody.
Oh, were we?
After this guest, somebody is going to get checked.
It's because of Vince Russo podcast.
I want to take a quick second and bury Facebook. Now, in addition to whatever they may or may not have been doing with our information, selling it to people. In addition, last week I put out a song. I should have just played it here because I can't get it to play anywhere else. So I did a song on the Kanye West beat, the Lift Yourself, the joke track he put out.
Do you want to put a break in?
Yeah.
That song
No, but you know where you
can hear
it.
They won't pull it down? They won't pull Patreon.com. The podcast down because of the beat?
They probably will.
It won't come down off our website, though. So
that's true, but YouTube it might.
Patreon.
It's on. I'm getting there. All right, so now the only place you can get it is Patreon.com/BitsAndRhymes or Patreon.com/MattManiaPodcast.
Hey.
All right. So here's the deal. I made the song. I put it out. This is what I did because I knew the beat was property of Kanye West.
Uh-huh.
Again,
Kanye West.
I'm a. We're going to get to that. We're definitely going to get to that. That might take up most of the show today. I wrote some raps with my feelings on the direction of Kanye West. I put it out. But what I did was I knew that beat was going to be copyrighted material, so there might be some issues. So what I did, I went back in. I found the original source of the sample, this track called Liberty by a group called Amnesty. Used a bit of that, chopped it up a little differently in the beginning, and then went back into the song.
Just to be, look at you, making it happen.
Cooking it up.
Just to try to be creative about
Damn.
It. Now, again, I grew up on the mixtape era, Rock, I'm sure you did too,
where
we would love to hear our favorite rappers go in on other people's beats.
All the time.
Like, that was... I still think Lil Wayne No Ceilings is the album I started listening to him on because I heard him on good beats or what I thought was good beats.
Thank goodness for like Dat Piff. Back
and
in
so
the day,
people would rap on other people's beats. It's a part of hip hop. I'm about to get on my old man soapbox. So
I live on that soapbox.
I put this record out.
You live
I put
under
it on
that
Facebook.
I am that soapbox. What are you talking about? Soapbox. I am the soapbox.
I put the record out on the night after his song comes, his Poopity Scoop song, and then. It gets a notification from YouTube that it's blocked for copyright.
You can't do that, McRan.
Next, I put it on SoundCloud. It gets blocked for copyright.
God damn.
Now, those places, okay, I understand. But Facebook, though, is a place where you can pay for your stuff to be heard by a bigger audience. You do boost posts and stuff. So I did. I threw like $20 on it. I was like, yo, people need to hear this. I put a boost on it. Went about $6 into the boost. I get an email from Facebook saying, sorry.
Kanye West said
this meets because Universal Music Group says, or we had a complaint and it was this complaint number. Obviously somebody at the label or, you know, somebody heard it. So it was getting around and deleted it. So I was like, well, I spent some money. Maybe I didn't spend a lot, but do I get that money back? What do you think, Facebook?
Hell,
what do you think Zucker said?
Man, Zuckerberg drinking that latte right now, courtesy of Megaran.
He said, yeah, that's my latte money. So, no. So, first of all, you get your song taken down.
Explain what they said for you not getting your money back.
I mean, basically, they were like,
because
I broke the rules.
Okay.
When you agree to put stuff on Facebook, you follow this long list of ridiculous rules.
In the micro fine print.
And most of it is, we do what we want when we want.
How we want.
No, and actually, the money that you spent, people did see it. So it wasn't like,
yeah, but now
money didn't get spent.
Like, that's true. They saw it, but now, like, I can't communicate with those people.
Right.
I can't reach those people. I can't ask them to add my page. I can't add them.
Yeah.
Like, I can't communicate with those folks who was like, man, this guy's dope. Who is he again? Boom, and it's gone. You know what I mean? So so anyway, song gone. I wanted to bury Facebook for that. Facebook basically, as all of us as content creators should know, and anybody listening, it's a site that is based on your interaction with content.
Yeah.
And they now have used that interaction as content as currency, because it's like gold now. Being able to reach you,
data mining through
being able to reach
sources.
You is and now know, worth money.
And they know what you like,
and they know what you like because they got man. If you ever go through, there's a series of options you can go through in your Facebook to see how many categories you fit into. like when they're directing ads to you.
Jesus.
I'm like, how do they know so much about me? It's like, it shows like everything. It'll be like
breakfast food, wrestling.
Like, it'll just be everywhere. Like, you know, like African-American issues, you know, like travel, music, like every little thing I've ever talked about is logged. So therefore, they know how to promote to you. Now, I ain't mad at the game. I'm definitely not mad at the game. I'm just mad at myself for putting money into them at this point. So that's just my personal opinion.
You know what I would do? I would call your bank. I would call your bank. I would call your bank and dispute the charge. Right? That's what I would do.
I don't know what I'm saying exactly, but I would end up saying,
are you burying Facebook?
In peace. Facebook.
Well, go to our Facebook page.
For more information on this, go to facebook.com/MattManiaPodcast.
At least for the moment.
It's definitely a necessary evil, but that don't mean I can't be mad at it.
Yeah.
But we got, you want to bury somebody before we go into our guest?
Bury him, pal.
Bury him. Bury their ass.
Yo, I wanted to talk about this shit that I sent y'all about Ember Moon's husband, our fiance.
Talk about it.
That's what we're gonna use for the buried alive section. Yeah. We're gonna use the Undertaker.
Please talk
music.
About it.
Man. Yo, so I'm on Facebook, which just got buried. And I see in one of the wrestling groups that I'm with, somebody posting. He's like, look, I'm gonna post it in here and see what you guys think, because I posted it in another group, and he's like, and people seem to not
he's
have
like
an issue
shitster.
With this. Yeah. So there's a picture.
Who, man?
Of Ember Moon's fiance or husband. I never looked up his name because I don't care.
Fiance. His name is
Who has his name?
Jabroni.
What's his name? So people can get him his work.
I don't know. You want to give him the satisfaction?
No, we don't need to give him pub.
I want people to give him his work online.
You can look up Ember Moon's dude and you can find it.
If you will.
So anyway,
his name.
If you guys don't know, Ember Moon is black and this guy is white. So
very black, very
we're not against that, by the way.
No,
absolutely not.
What I'm against is the fact that this guy had a shirt on that looked it like he was Tarzan with a black woman over his shoulder
with a big
that
butt.
Said that said King of the Black Women.
Yo.
Our guests don't have to know anything about wrestling to know that that's not okay.
Yo, with our guest's face, he might have to get on the mic just to hear his opinion on this, and he doesn't even know wrestling.
Is this for sale on Pro Wrestling Tees for real?
No,
was there a link to it? Did you find it on there?
I think it is on Pro Wrestling.
I'm searching right now.
Real quick, Pro Wrestling Tees might have to hear my thoughts.
He might have to get buried,
too. As an impartial wrestling fan.
Is that okay?
Is this okay? Right, share your thoughts.
They're dating. They obviously love each other. Is that okay?
No.
But there it is.
Now, hold on.
There it is.
Okay, T.
Playing devil's advocate.
Rebuttal?
Oh, the devil don't need no advocate on this.
No.
But go ahead.
Godfather used to come out with plenty hoes.
Well, he was a pimp.
Okay.
He paid them.
But he didn't call himself king of the white women.
But if he did.
And it was Attitude Era, which is stuff that most of that stuff is not okay today. We definitely know
different
that.
Different time, okay. Different era.
And that shirt is not okay for right now.
Attitude Era,
even if it's,
it would get him
some heat. That
shirt's
not okay ever.
That's not okay.
I know he's doing it for heat. Is he going to get the wrong type of heat for that?
When he gets his bell rung by somebody in the streets.
There was other white guys in the comments that was like, I'd buy that shirt. And
okay, Chad. Wear that shirt, Chad.
Okay, Bill.
Yo. Make it happen, bruh.
Okay, so.
And then there were white guys. Hold on. There were white guys who said, hey, I dated a black woman, and if I wore that shirt, she'd beat me up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what I'm honestly
total
mad at.
Eclipse.
I'm mad at Ember right now.
Total
I feel
eclipse.
Like Ember
for letting
should
that
be
happen.
Springboard stunning that dude right now. Like, my wife would slap me for that. Like, that's disrespectful.
That's what
like,
I was going to say. Like, you, like that's like a
black
guy. If
you had a king of
the
white
king
woman
of,
shirt.
even if it's even king of the black woman,
yeah.
And I'm a black man.
Your wife ain't going to rock with that.
Disrespectful.
Be like,
basically
hey.
Saying like, yo,
Mia,
I
did
get,
you show them the picture of
I
it?
Pull all no, black no, no. women. Like, who wants to say that when you in a relationship with one black woman? Like, it's not okay.
You don't ever want to
so
tell a woman you're the king of her.
Of more than
of
one.
Her,
ain't
women.
No king of
people
nobody.
People in the comments like, were like, Ember looks like the type that would be like, that just means he likes black girls.
Yeah, no. Ember might not
like
all the way,
Ember,
might not
to,
be all the way woke.
That's like me
one.
Wearing a King of the Latina shirt. I would get cut by a bunch of different Latinas.
Right. Okay.
No homie, you don't own me. You don't own me.
So here's
Hey, so we all agreeing that that guy in that shirt is getting buried.
He's getting buried.
Buried. Yeah. Rest in. Rest in.
I'm
glad you brought it to wrestling because we might be off wrestling for a little bit more. All right, so sidebar.
Here we go.
I started Googling King of the Black Women to try to get this shirt.
The context?
Siri's suggested website was Yahoo Answers. Yahoo Answers asks a question, which I don't know why it came up. Why are pit bulls so popular among black people? Now,
let me see what Google's answer is.
I want to bring in our guest.
I can answer that.
No, it's Yahoo questions. So like people just put in their own answers, like they don't really know. But on that note, let's bring in our guest, Kevin Parkinson. Come on to the mic, sir. Also introduce
your homie. What's up, guys? My name is Kevin Parkinson. Thank you very much for having us, Teek, my brother. Yo, Teek gave me a shot at this very studio. I got the privilege of shooting a music video for him. And I appreciate you for that, Teek. I love you, man. Thank you, bro. Before I get sidetracked, I'm with one of my good friends, Mr. West. He is not Kanye. Forget him. But
Wake up, Mr. West.
I'm here. Yeah, not Kanye, baby. Not Kanye.
My brother
we
West.
Ain't doing him right now.
Right. West is the owner of Drum Life, a clothing brand that he started himself with no white cosign, Mr. Kanye West. He did it himself.
Friend of the show.
Yes. And it's a dope, dope clothing line. Wes hit me up a few weeks ago and said, Kev, I want to
bring
a movie.
Some. Did you bring us some of it?
Nah, but that's not a problem. All I need is size. I'll be back.
Hey. Yes.
Y'all ain't
yes.
far. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I got y'all. Wes hit me up.
We like gifts here.
Yeah, not a problem.
Wes hit me up and said, Kev, look, man, I'm watching Netflix, and it's very uninspiring, bro. But I am inspired to make a movie. Ooh. And ironically, that same week, I called one of my good friends, Marquise Mosley, who I went to college with, the Savannah College of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a script. I said, look, I don't have a lot of money. I need a really fire, dope script because I'm tired of waiting for people to make a movie. Mm-hmm. And he sent me this script. I said, what's it about? He said, just read it. It was the craziest thing I ever read. Mm-hmm. So when Wes called me, I said, Wes, I got a movie, bro. Had no money, but I said, yo, I got the script for a movie. And here we are, what, 3 months later?
Yeah. And this is how magic happens.
And the movie's done.
Bitches in the mind.
Yes.
This is like you had weed and no blunt, and he had blunt and
come
no
on,
weed.
Yeah.
You know,
it was come like, on.
Shouts out to the How High reference.
Right. It was like, how does that
got
just happen?
Blunt.
Hey, I want to make a movie.
Got weed.
Hey, I got a script.
It was crazy.
That's
but,
dope.
But to not teeter too far away from the pitbull question, African Americans are probably the most marginalized group of humans walking Earth today. Right. You've got a lot of Africans on the continent of Africa who have limited resources and less monetary things, intangible things, than we African Americans have. But they have Africa. They have the soil. They're there. Mm-hmm. You know, black people, for the most part, we might have money, but that can be taken away from us. We can be lynched. We can be killed. And white people or non-black people get away with impunity with doing that. Because of that marginalization, we look at the pit bull, which was a crossbreed dog of the American Bulldog, which doesn't really exist in its true form anymore. And the pit bull was kind of, and a terrier. The pit bull was like bred. Mm-hmm. And now that there is no need to go hunting ducks anymore, the pit bull's kind of like on its own. You feel me? I don't have need for these slaves anymore, but you're here. Mm-hmm. So they're marginalized as well. So black people kind of feel that energy and we kind of gravitate towards the pit bull.
There's a mutual connection.
There's a mutual connection there. That might sound ridiculous, but I've met a ton of pit bulls that are very friendly. And they're very intelligent dogs. They're nice. Uh-huh. It just so happens that they were bred to be really aggressive. Right.
They're branded to be a certain way.
Exactly.
Much just like a certain group of people.
Well, you know, not only
to be superhumans. Yeah. And because of that, you know, if I'm a little nervous,
not only
in
that
the dark,
though,
I
but they're gonna take what black people did with the dog to scrutinize the dog. Like, oh, they used the dogs to fight dogs.
Right.
But other people fight dogs, and back in the day they were fighting dogs.
Right.
Just like they were fighting people.
Right.
So I mean,
well, it's only a crime if you have the ability to write law that says it is.
Yeah.
You know? And, right. And that's the interesting thing, going back to marginalization, you know?
No, but I'm just saying, just like how they try to make it seem like the majority of black people are on assistance or food stamps or something, when that might not be the case.
Exactly.
They try to make it seem like the majority of pit bulls are owned by black owners that don't take care of them, that they used to fight, that they used to do this, used to do that, when they some of the like most loving dogs. Exactly. Let some white people tell you that they – and yo, this ain't a – This ain't the less shit on white people time.
Right, right.
I just want people to know that, like, there's white people in the podcast right now.
Shout out to them.
Like some of my best friends. I'm just saying, let somebody that's white be on TV and say, "Oh, my pit bull is this."
Yeah.
Just like they can go in there and be like, "Oh, we're soccer moms and we smoke weed, like it's okay." Right, but then when the black people do it, then it's like, "Oh no, you're going to jail."
Right.
Like, so it's just like
criminal activity.
Exactly. Right. So
let's talk about this movie, y'all.
Anything connected to us?
It's deep.
Mr. Parks and Mr. West.
Why you
so,
here looking like that? You know, he woke right now.
Word up. Let's talk about this movie. All right. So you sent me the website. Now you talked to me about it off mic a long time ago. I don't even know if you remember. Like, but when
we
this
were
was
in the car,
in the beginning
around
of its stages, and you didn't know if you were ready to take on something like this. And now we're at a completely finished film.
Yeah.
All right. So I went to the site. The tagline is "Passion can be toxic."
Yes.
So I want you to tell the people, what's this about?
All right.
What's
guys
up with that?
What's up? What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Man, let's talk about it. Yeah.
So okay, to take you guys back a few months ago, I had the honor and the privilege of shooting a music video for Mega Ran. Mm-hmm. And in that, during the pre-production stage, Mega Ran and I were driving around just talking about life. And Mega Ran's a very deep dude, if you guys don't know that about him. Off mic, he is just as bright as he is on mic. So it was a privilege to pick his brain. So, you know, I'm like, hey, Mega Ran, you know, thank you for letting me do this new music video for you. It's going to come out incredible. Old Enough is on YouTube right now. Go check that out, guys. I'm very proud of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, Mega, I got this script. It's about a woman scorned who seeks revenge after finding out that there's been a lot of infidelity on her boyfriend's part. It's not the brightest story.
Hell hath no fury.
Right. It's an interesting story, but it's not super bright and, hey, what's up, guys? Like I am, you know, I am the epitome of Steve Urkel. Very positive. Hey. I always was that guy. And Mega said, hey, man, if you can flip it in a way that is conducive to a message, go for it. And, bro, honestly, that's all I needed to hear. That same week, Wes called me and was like, yo, Kev, let's do a movie. And we were on from there, bro. So, Mega Ran, I'm dead serious when I tell you, it is, you know, all fate that we start our promotional run for this project on your podcast, because you are the spark that made me decide, all right, let's do this movie.
Yeah.
And it came out incredible, man. So thank you, bro.
That's what's up. So if this was, I guess if this could be compared. Oh, sorry, I'm not on mic.
There you go. The number one sin of
that's
podcasting. If you were to compare this to any two movies that exist.
Easy.
What would you compare this
Fatal
to?
Fatal Attraction and A Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Ooh. Okay. Both classics. Mm-hmm.
It's just Layla that this has never been done before, because it's that type of movie with an interracial couple.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sitting here to say that this movie is 2018's Get Out, and it has a lot to do with race relations. But if you look at this movie deep enough, it does.
Okay.
It is going to be extremely entertaining on the surface, but underneath all that, there is not a codified message, but there's just some incredible visuals you've never seen in a feature film before.
Wow.
Because of it being an interracial relationship. It's that crazy. We shot the movie in 4 days.
Wow.
16 hours each day.
Dang.
I personally died while shooting the movie. I know Wes did. Dead. On top of shooting the movie 16 hours a day, Wes works a full-time job. Sheesh. So Wes would leave set, go to work, drink a Red Bull, and come back. And we would continue shooting. So it was a blessing. But because of the strong subject matter, we were able to get a lot of dedicated people. Pretty much a woman wakes up one day to find out she's pregnant. Mm. That same day, she finds out her boyfriend, for many years, has been cheating on her with several people. And then things get interesting.
Wow.
So the whole thing takes place in one night, shot all here in Phoenix, Arizona. And it is a bloody, gory mess with a message. It's very fun. I think everybody's gonna love this movie. And we're in a weird spot now, because we don't know what to do with it. Do we do the festival thing, or do
that's what I was gonna ask. I mean, are you ready to hit the festival route? I mean, I've as a person who's shot a documentary, which is not a feature length film, I know how difficult and costly it is to go the festival route. I mean, every festival has an entrance requirement, right, admission. You got to travel in your own dime to a lot of these places to hopefully get it shown and promoted. It's very costly.
Yeah.
But I mean, the results can be worth it.
Yeah.
But what is, I was going to ask what your plan, but is that something that's still in the beginning stages on?
I shout out to Stephanie. Stephanie, I don't know your last name. Stephanie is the head of the film department at Glendale Community College. Mm. And I met with her yesterday to do not a premiere, but a screening for the students. Okay. Because two students in the film school at Glendale Community College worked on the movie. Mm-hmm. And not interns, they were paid. Like, we paid everybody to be a part of this project. And she watched the trailer and said, "You did this?" I said, yeah, we did this. Wow. And she was like, "Yo, this is excellent. Maybe you guys should do a festival run." And that got me really thinking. But just like you said, it's very expensive to do a festival run. So depending on what we receive from people, if they think it's hot enough and we get enough people to want it, we're just going to release it on demand through like Amazon or something. Probably not something like a Netflix, because Netflix, there's no famous people in the movie. Netflix probably be like, "Here's $3,000, have a nice life," and we're going to stream it forever.
That happened to me.
Right.
I sent mine to Netflix. They were like, nah.
Right. We'll probably put it on something like Amazon and for rental or for digital download. And then we'll just see, man.
They do a film festival here, though. Are you going to try to get in that one? Yeah.
Man, we might. Because we honestly.
Oh, you should.
No disrespect to anybody.
Because, I mean, at least you'll be home and you ain't got to travel. And then once you see how it does there, that'll be like, okay, well, maybe we need to take this other places.
We were just talking about that outside.
If we get in, we're going to win, man.
Yeah.
We got a good product. And, I mean, not just put extras on it because it's us, but the product is there, man. We put hard work into it. The actors came out and killed it. Everybody knew their lines. We took care of everybody. We fed them. I mean, it was a lot of integrity on the set, man.
Sounds
that
good.
Really made everything so respectful, and people just really enjoyed what we were doing, man. So that's what really brought everything together and just made it so positive, man. Not only were we shooting a movie, but it was positive. The energy was right. The vibe was right. Nobody was mistreated. Everybody was taken care of. Everybody came to take care of business. Like you said, we shot it in 4 days.
Yeah, you said 16-hour days, yeah. And everybody was leaving
there 4 in the morning, going to work, had to be at work at 7.
Yeah.
Two hours of sleep. Crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, we was grinding. But, you know, we knew it was going to be a suicide mission, and we really didn't care about that. We was just like, let's get it done. This is what we doing.
Was there any particular reason that y'all wanted to shoot it so fast?
We didn't have the money to shoot longer than that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, real.
There you go.
Yeah, independent. We just, I mean, like I said, we paid everybody every day. Our own money. Guerrilla style. Like he just said, we guerrilla in the game right now. Period, point blank. All independent. We not playing around, and this is how we coming with it, period. Until somebody comes behind us and say, "Hey, we love what y'all doing. Let's do it." Other than that, we're gonna keep moving. Our plan right now is to shoot 2 movies a year.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Wait. Get your mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's almost like this can be a precursor for like things to come. I mean, a series, exactly. Of course, or a continuation of said you know, the movie. So the fact that it's locally made, homegrown,
right?
Matt Maniacs, y'all need to be out here and help support, you know, our friends here at the show. So please tell us one more time, where can they find the movie?
Real easy, Noxious, which is a word I never heard of before.
How do you spell it?
NOXIOUS, NoxiousTheMovie.com. That's NoxiousTheMovie.com. And we have a soundtrack, but Teak, Mega, we need some music from y'all.
Oh, man, gladly.
To put in the movie.
Yo, I said I would give some music for it, but then I saw you put up a soundtrack, and I was like, oh, he good.
We focusing on the movie, of course, man, but let's not forget about the soundtrack, man. The soundtrack got some dope artists.
Tell them who's on there, bro.
Man, we got a new single for Future and Daz and Corrupt.
Yeah, man.
It's hot.
Yes.
I mean, top to bottom. I'm not just saying that because the record is something that we put together, but top to bottom, it's a good record. No skipping, you can flow through it, and that's kind of records you need nowadays. A lot of these cats put out these albums.
You from LA, man?
Yeah, I'm from LA.
Right?
All the way.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, I only been out here like 3 years, man. So my hustle mentality is
can
on a whole
definitely tell you
another
from
level.
LA.
Yeah. But I'm glad I'm linking my boy and just really got this going. Like,
well,
we got
Dave,
it going.
How long
man.
You been that's here?
So yeah, let's focus on this soundtrack, man. You can get that on Apple Music. Nox is the soundtrack. You got to check it out. It'll link you to the movie and give you an idea where we're coming from. And let's support these artists that's on there too.
Yo, and Kev, he done shot multiple videos for Ran. He done shot a video for me.
I already
know. Show them the same. Well, I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Show them the same love that you will show us that you would show the product that we got.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Any friend of the show, of course, is a friend of y'all, so get to know him. NoxiousTheMovie.com. Do you have a clip? Do you have some audio you want to give us?
Yeah, we do.
All right, cool. Let's plug it on in over there.
Let's plug it in.
Remember, NoxiousTheMovie.com will give you some info as well as a trailer on there. I know, just from being around this gentleman, I know his work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
So I know how hard he works, how quickly he's able to make amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine, you know, how, you know, prosperous those 16-hour days were. I'm sure. I can imagine he got the most
Tyler Perry, man.
Out of everybody,
man. That's why I was calling him on the set. I said, yeah. Man, you acting like Tyler Perry yourself, man. What's going on, man?
I'm very proud of you guys for putting this together. So. I can't wait to see it. When we gonna get a screening? When y'all get a Phoenix screening, please let us know. We want to see it.
Film bar, you gotta put it up in there.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing. Check this out, guys. If you go to the website right now, NoxiousTheMovie.com, NOXIOUS TheMovie.com, put in your email address, and we will send you free tickets to the private screen that we're gonna have. Anybody listening right now, just mention Matt Mania.
That's what's up.
And we swear we will give you a free ticket to see the movie here in Phoenix before.
Are you announcing
happens.
Where the screening is? Or are you still working on that?
Most likely it's going to be at Glendale Community College as of right now, but it could also be at a film
bar.
It
could be anywhere near you.
It could be anywhere near you. But all right. That's a promise.
Dope. Okay, so you ready to run us some
kinda, man. I try to stay ready, so I don't have to get ready. But I'm messing up right now. I'm messing up right
now.
Well,
we can move
for you. He want to throw you on the aux so that it can go.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, plug it in. But if not, we can just quickly move to some wrestling talk. So
social media plug. NoxiousMovie.com. Vin Ark on Instagram. You can go to DrumLife7A. Check out all the gear. NoxiousMovie.com. Noxious Movie on Instagram. Vin Ark Motion Pictures on Instagram. Hook us up. Look us up. We coming, man. Independent all the way. Out the trunk with it, as E-40 would say,
that's
right?
That's right.
Y'all know about E-40.
I know all
we
about that
We got hip-hop heads in here right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, E-40, out the trunk, man. That's what we doing
We know
right
about
now.
That grind.
Yeah,
so.
That grind is real.
Yes, indeed. So that's what's up, man. You got our full support. So please keep us updated on that.
Thank
we
you
will
guys.
Get you more. I signed up
Shout
on the website.
The
Dan signed up on the website.
Hey, shout out Dan.
He the first email address.
First email.
He the first email address in there. Uh-huh. All right, so we got our clip ready?
Yeah, we got the clip ready. It's the clip is playing right now. You're going to hear a little motivational intro.
Kev called up his boy Cyrus the Great, and he blessed us with some dope tracks. He produced for his Film School Rejects, featuring Joyner Lucas. Then I grabbed some of my tracks, and we created this dope soundtrack for y'all. Since Noxious is all about the ugly side of relationships, we about to start this soundtrack off with some positive vibes. To remind y'all that life is about living, and it's to be enjoyed. Don't be afraid to change the game. So here's my record called Keep Shining, featuring my homegirl Crystal. You now tuned in to the Noxious soundtrack.
So, come on.
Look,
we're going to have to get a statement at some point for the press to put this whole thing behind us.
Well, she's not going to do anything with her face bruised up all like it is. Besides, I don't think that she's the innocent survivor that people are claiming.
Gotta watch the movie to find out what they're talking about.
Yo!
That's it right there.
Oh, snap. Ladies and gentlemen, Noxious the Movie. Hey. It's coming.
He hits
sooner
you with the teaser sound clip.
Yeah.
Yo.
Soundtrack is free too, by the way.
And real quick, man, I got a record on there called Keep Shining, man. AMG produced that record,
Ooh,
man. And Quiz was like an overseer on it, man.
Wow.
So let's not forget that, man.
Legend. It's something you gotta roll something up to. Pour you a drink. Maybe drop the top. And just roll with me. Come on. We feeling good, finna take a flight. Down to Miami for a couple nights. That ocean air got me feeling right. I'm drunk off these wet willies, eyes real tight. Plus I hooked up with a cat with some top flight. We finna hit the mansion tonight and do it right. We in the city where they party all night. Speedboating across the water, living a
so
lavish
yeah, make sure y'all go out and check that soundtrack out.
No tips so they can see me driving. Got a suite at the
Once
Four
again,
Seasons.
Thank you. We gonna let this run, but of course it's been a pleasure to have y'all here. And everybody, of course, support the film, Noxious the Movie. It's coming.
And parents, if your
ready.
Kids play basketball and wrestle, make sure they wrestle. Because let me just say this. Wrestling is the only athletic profession that can parlay into universal cash streams. Think about it. There's only one Kobe, and now he's making movies. That's great. But most athletes stay in their field forever. Gatorade, Nike, Under Armour. You feel me? But with wrestling, man, you can sell cereal. You can be a movie star. Think about that, parents. So wrestling is a lot more serious than a lot of people make it out to be. You know, do the Kurt Angle approach, go win you a medal or two, and then join the WWE, man.
Hey. Yeah. That's what's up. Nice. That's really good advice, man. That's a great segue. All right, y'all ready to jump back in?
Back to the wrestle.
We're jump back in. All right. Thank you again for coming. Yo.
No problem.
Much respect. I appreciate y'all, man. I look forward to seeing this flick. I got to see this movie, man.
For sure, man. Good seeing you.
I need music, man.
All right. We got you with music.
For sure. We'll get you some.
Sorry, it's a pleasure having guests up in the spot.
Check y'all out.
Good people. Good guests. Yo, we in here.
That's what we all about.
Yes, indeed. Yo, it's Matt Mania Podcast. See y'all on the interwebs. Yes. Noxious the movie.
Yeah. So all back. Right.
So let's talk wrestling. Now, this week is a weird week for me anyway because we're in between two big shows.
Yeah.
I caught Raw. I caught a little, I got the 90-minute version this week.
Okay.
Was there any standouts? I want to say, I mean, starting from the end. The main event was incredible. I don't know if y'all got to see that. The Intercontinental match between Seth and Finn was 5-star to me.
Absolutely.
And that brought up that brings me to an interesting point because I think it's dope to have the IC title be the main event title of Raw.
Like it kind of has to be.
If Brock isn't going to be there, give us a flame IC title match. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm all right with that.
I mean, that title, I mean, yeah, the Universal title is the biggest title in the company, but I mean, it's not defended on TV. It's not seen on TV very often.
Yeah.
The IC title is. You can make an argument that that one is is as prestigious in some circles because of the lineage of the title.
Yeah, I mean, look who's held it. Like, everybody. Compared to who's held the Universal, there's four dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could be like, yo, Macho, Warrior. So many people had the IC title and made it prestigious.
Did Hogan hold that belt?
Nah,
he was above
that.
But which is wild to say.
Angle.
He's above
Benoit.
It.
Yeah, he's above that belt. Like, so many legends held that title. Ricky. So. It's okay to put it where it is. I think it being the main title on the show, I would not be mad about that.
Yeah, no, that match was dope. But I like watching.
When are y'all gonna get tired of? See, you were just saying that. So you like watching Seth and Finn fight?
It's gonna get old. I think what's gonna happen is that
I would like them to stop after Backlash. Because they're fighting at
them. It's Miz.
Wait, it's not them.
It's Miz and Seth.
Miz gets his rematch, and then he goes to the other show.
I think it's
almost like another Greatest Royal Rumble. Like, these inter-show matches,
there's no build,
don't mean anything because it's like you're not going to take the belt to the other show.
The build comes from WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because that's what Backlash has always been about.
But not anymore because of the shakeup happening. Maybe the shakeup should have been after Backlash. You know what I mean? Because now to have Miz, nobody's thinking about Miz getting that title back right now. Like, it could happen. It's not going to happen. Like, it's just not. You know what I mean? Like, so.
It's not because the only way that it can happen is for you to flip-flop the titles, which would mean that the U.S. would be going to Raw.
Which could happen. Wait. What's happening? Is it Randy versus Jeff Hardy for U.S.?
Yeah, I don't even think that's entered.
Randy's still SmackDown.
Randy's still SmackDown.
And Jeff is SmackDown.
Jeff
also.
Is Raw.
No, Jeff
is SmackDown.
Oh, I'm confused.
Matt is Raw.
They
Matt
got Jeff the hell away from Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Because they
didn't want to join them up.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
Not yet.
So that's not an inter like brand show.
Gender was
match.
Supposed to. Wait, it's
I
not
thought
gender?
It would have been Gender's rematch, but no, I guess not.
Tinder.
If it was Gender, then that would make sense.
He got his rematch at Greatest Royal Rumble.
So they're not going to throw both of those on the
same
show.
So, yeah, you know that both belts aren't going to the same show. So it's pretty clear that Miz is not winning. And he's probably going to finally take some time off for his baby.
Do you think any strap's going to change hands on Sunday?
On Backlash?
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't. They're not pulling the strap off.
Are we going to get there?
Wait, let's get the card. Let's get the card. Because, you know, it's 70 minutes at this point. We should definitely do the card. But... Did anything happen on SmackDown that I missed? Anything cool?
It was on Tuesday.
Miz was.
Miz. I hate you. All right, the best.
Miz was dressed like a anime character.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah, he was.
Yo, I saw something. I saw a clip. Mania. Please explain to this.
Why is he?
They had somebody come out.
He's Hokage, bro.
They had somebody come out as like a miniature version of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Big Cass did that.
Are we still doing like some short midget jokes in 2018?
I didn't see that. Oh, yeah, that match is on the card.
That's
huh?
trash. I'm not okay with that.
Does Big Cass go over in, on some heel
he
shit?
He has to.
On some heel shit?
He has to.
Yeah, but this is what sucks.
Daniel Bryan doesn't need a win against Cass.
He's not writing that shit.
He never needs to win again.
So are we, he's not writing that shit, so are we mad at WWE writers for writing that?
I'm mad at the writers.
Be mad at no, Cass we're
mad I'm not mad at Cass.
No, we're
I'm
mad at the writers. We're mad at Road Dogg.
Somebody thought, oh, man, going to have a little man be named Bryan. That's going to be so funny, man. Ah! No, that's not funny.
And it wasn't.
In 2018, that's not funny.
It's, you know, I will say.
What about Cass's mic work?
Kaz's mic work is pretty good.
Is it any better?
But it's pretty good in my opinion.
It had to get better.
But it's not
It's good,
interesting.
But it's generic
it's
shit
not,
that he's saying.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't pull you in. It's good for context.
He needs time.
It just doesn't have anything to
he
really.
He had all this time off.
Well, then he should have been working on his
injury,
on
his not on his mic work.
Yo, there's nothing wrong with his mouth. He could have been
there and talk.
He could have been doing talking classes while
there's
rehabbing.
Nothing wrong with his mouth.
To a little bit of this
y'all
road,
hear
Rand
in here being the bad guy
I'm
today?
Just saying.
He said, hey, while you was working on your injury, you should have been working on your mic skills.
I'm just saying. No, for you to say he didn't have time.
He said he should
who
have been,
he dating
he should have been working on
who
his mouth.
Who was he dating?
Cardi B.
I ain't dating Cardi B. Was it Carmella?
It was Carmella. But Carmella was taken off, so she was like, I don't need your dead weight. So
she's so trash.
She left them.
Okay, so let's talk about.
Really, she had won the women's money in the bank. She ain't need them anymore. Make sure
check,
this part
check.
Is up in
can
there.
Can you hear me now?
You're back.
All right, here we go. Let's go through the card.
Yep.
Tag match. Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
I like this.
There isn't much story
really
here, but this should be good wrestling at least.
Well, the story was Roman, Bobby Lashley, and Braun Strowman went up against Sami, Kevin, and The Miz.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I think Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, they also tagged
shit,
against.
I think the week before that they had like a five-man or a four-man tag match with them in it also.
It was Braun.
With Roman Reigns.
It was Braun, Lashley, Roman, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins.
Finn Balor.
Yeah, like ridiculous.
Balor. Against the entire heel faction.
WWE
so
superstar
who wins?
Finn Balor.
We got all the heels versus all the faces and no groups.
Oh, we know who
and
wins
And then Bobby
that.
Lashley right now, he's getting some of that Braun Strowman dust.
Yeah.
You know, just partnering him
they're
with Braun
putting
Strowman.
Them over.
He's getting that little.
Hey, did you see somebody
hey, but
somebody
then
posted
Braun
on
Strowman got booed. Oh my bad, but he was getting boos.
By who?
No. Yeah, he was.
Who?
Where?
Where?
Who? When?
Who?
Man. When he was in the match? No. You're in the match with Roman Reigns.
He wasn't getting booed.
He got Roman dust.
He did. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about
maybe
his
he has
dust,
some Roman dust
but
on
you
him.
You can't help Roman. Roman gave him that hot tag, and
that's
people
what
was
happened.
Like, what the fuck?
Braun Strowman's all like, chocolate mano. And then as soon as he got the tag in, I mean, I thought the crowd popped, but
I
mean,
thought they popped.
Did you just say Braun Strowman was speaking Spanish?
No, I said Braun. Was saying chocolate mano.
Because if Braun Strowman could speak Spanish, that would be excellent.
It'd be pretty cool if he
did. You guys see? It was online somewhere that said that somebody had posted that Braun Strowman is going to be the next Daniel Bryan as far as the next biggest over star. Because how over Braun Strowman is.
I mean, that's
is
where
right
it's
now.
Going. Yeah. And at the same time, creatively, they don't have a lot for him right now.
And they don't need to have a whole lot for him either,
no,
though.
But
they can't
be
have him playing
that.
Stupid
well, no,
tag,
I mean,
tag matches.
No,
for
at some point, they're going to have to do
exactly.
something. But
that's
for right now,
you
for right
there's
now,
only
it's
so
good.
Over you can be before people like.
People
well,
love
people
to,
will
get
demand
the
more
and,
of them.
And you know, I kind of want to say, I want to see Braun Strowman go up to Bobby Lashley and say, hey, you're almost as big as Nicholas. Maybe we should go to the tag teams. You know, something like that. Like he and
wait,
and
are you
and
trying
Lashley.
To see something get built up between them two to fight? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Y'all want to see a Bobby Lashley
plan,
Braun program?
I think that's the SummerSlam
oh,
move.
Pair him up and then break him up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Rock. There you go.
Pair him up.
Classic
they'll get
wrestling.
To a tag title match, lose, and then break up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
like Lashley or Braun costing, you know, the win.
The championship.
And,
okay.
Championship. Yeah.
And then
but
that
you
way
gotta
you can
build
that
Lashley
build.
To be
yeah.
on his level for
yeah.
so you even think he can beat him.
I think Bobby Lashley's still living off of the, oh, I'm back bubble, which is going to
right.
pop
and a lot
soon.
Of new kids don't really know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's right. Lose the headband.
So in order for the new kids to carry,
or get
you gotta
multiple
start kicking some ass.
He got to kick some butt. All right, so now moving
next.
On. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe.
We got
Samoa
Joe
so
versus
Samoan
Joe, because his name's Joe.
I want Samoa. I want Samoa
so
Joe.
Ready yeah. for Samoa
but
to
WWE
choke
likes
him.
To likes to fuck
likes
with
to
us
what?
A little bit.
as soon as I put the big dog to sleep, Believe that.
He literally said that like 3 weeks in a row, though.
Yeah.
You will lose to Brock Lesnar, and I will choke you out. Next week, says the same thing again.
What did y'all think?
That's so enthralling.
But when has Samoa Joe said he was going to choke somebody out, and he didn't choke somebody out? So
that's facts.
Are they going to give Roman another L, though?
No, it's going to be shenanigans, but he's going to get choked in the match, though.
What did y'all think of
Roman
the finish?
Is taking mad I feel L's. That.
What did y'all think of the finish of the Brock and Roman
they're not
match?
On the same brand, so I don't think that they're going to.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
because
that was
title match, the cage match. I thought it was a cool ending.
Yeah.
Them doing that, the outside the ring shenanigans
sure.
thing. Like, Brock doesn't cheat. So, like, the only way he can win on a technicality is, like that. So, I
where
like
it. Where
it
was the referee's
and
mistake.
Technically,
yeah. they said the referee
Roman's
tweeted
feet
or something.
Hit the ground.
First, which is what I thought the
that's
stipulation
the
was.
For they were, no, they were up and down with that stipulation.
Michael Cole said it, like, 80 million times. Yeah. Both feet have to touch. Both feet. And then Roman's both feet touch, yeah. but his back,
Michael
which
Cole.
Is on gate.
Brock's
so it's
back
like
was
not even
back
like,
on
yeah.
the gate, so it didn't even touch.
Man,
that
yeah, which they made it sound like you had to be at that point. They made it seem like you had to just be out the cage first.
No, Vince McMahon,
which Brock would
Vince
have been
McMahon
out the cage
like,
first.
Listen here, pal, someone's got to take the heat. Goddamn referee, you're taking the
put
heat
on the referee. Man, so they corrected it with the referee error. I like that. We're
yeah.
like, oh, ref's decision's final.
Right
now,
so
it leaves
even though
it up
he
in the
realized
air,
he, that's like
he
NFL
can get another
refs.
Match. Yeah, yeah, it happens in real sports.
No.
Happens in real sports all the time.
Like
so
say,
I like it.
That the spear in slow motion though, that looked brutal.
Oh yeah, I was
landed.
Waiting
yeah,
to see
it
Brock
did.
Scarred up.
I
back.
Thought Brock I was gonna
like,
be dead again, like Brock
did.
Landed on his head again.
It looked rough. That was a good spear. Okay, so it who was. Wins this match? Roman, Joe.
Roman or Samoa?
I want Samoa Joe.
What is the does the match have a stipulation?
No,
nope.
No stipulation.
They should have said number one
see,
contender. But
it's
they
gonna
didn't.
No. I meant like
they're on
no count outs, no DQ or something like that. Because I feel like it'll end up being like a count out
but
or
know,
something like that, or either like maybe
or,
Samoa
or
Joe
like a double
getting
no.
a
double DQ.
Hold on. Let me finish my fantasy booking, man. For
all right,
a second.
All right, go ahead.
Samoa Joe getting disqualified for choking him out like too much, like being too brutal in the match. I can see something like that happening.
He'll get cheered for that.
Yeah,
he will, but he's going to get cheered regardless,
get
and Roman's going to get booed
but
regardless.
I was going to say, I like Rock's idea that a number one contendership, because if you notice in SmackDown, Joe kind of called out AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Right?
He called everybody, yeah.
So if he says, like, you know, after I choke out Roman, I'll come after you, you know, that can be a good, like, precursor.
I read
for
that
number
somewhere.
One
he did tell AJ Styles that, though, basically.
Yeah, he did.
On SmackDown.
But they didn't make it official that he's next in
when
line.
When he came
no,
out
I,
and
I
interrupted
that.
Him, he said, while you're worrying about your match, you should be worrying about me and Roman, which there is no reason for him to be worried about him and Roman if that's a inter-brand match.
Maybe they
so
made a
what
mistake
you need
there.
To be worried about is
he's
me
be next
to you
in
after
the picture.
Roman.
And I'm okay with that. I read that somewhere. It was like, again, take it with a grain of salt,
yeah.
was a rumor saying that AJ and Joe, we're going to have a program this year.
I like
that. And if you remember, back
give me
in
that
the,
from
back
TNA.
TNA.
That was the only thing worth watching
Ooh,
on TNA ever.
Fire.
So if you've never watched any Impact,
I saw some of that.
That stuff, great.
Good.
Well,
yeah,
I recommend Christopher
Joe
Daniels
and
AJ
now,
Styles.
Give me that.
Versus Samoa
even
Joe
better, yeah.
and TNA. Those matches were fire.
Yep.
Yeah, because Joe could
Straight.
Do the muscle buster.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he did it in NXT a lot, too,
he
but
did.
For some reason
they
just took
they like,
it away. Nah.
It
yeah.
wasn't for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah,
it's because
he broke Tyson Kidd's neck.
For some reason.
Come
somebody's neck
well,
broke.
I mean, he did it to Finn a couple of times.
Yeah, but if Tyson Kidd didn't break his neck, and it was career ending, apparently, because he's not
yeah.
coming back,
yeah.
I think he would
so
still be doing
why.
It.
That's kind of a reason.
He could do Comic-Con.
For some reason.
He could do Comic-Con. He's still married to Natty. He's
on
Total
Divas. He can still talk.
He's a trainer. He's an agent.
Yeah, all right, come on.
So
now,
next,
Daniel Bryan versus Big Ass. I mean, Big Cass.
We kind of talked about this a little
bit.
Casshole.
I think Cass via our favorite thing, shenanigans.
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 You're right. Like Daniel Bryan
I will
does
pistol
not
whip the next
need
person
to win
who says shenanigans.
Yo.
What's the name of that bar?
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Hold on. But what about the fact that Daniel Bryan couldn't wrestle because his back was, I mean, his chest was so chopped
looking
up.
Like
Ooh, he really couldn't wrestle
that's
because
what,
of that?
That's
that
what they that. Said. They said,
supposedly.
Michael Culo.
Hey, I believe.
So that he didn't get infection.
He had superficial yeah, injuries.
Infection. I believe.
No, they said that they didn't want him to get infected.
Yo, that was
Roderick Strong.
Roddy was lighting his shit up.
Yo, Roderick Strong.
Yeah, he literally got
undisputed
by Wolverine.
Era.
Ground
yeah.
beef on that dude's chest.
Them chops was brutal.
Word, yeah. That was rough. All right, so.
But who we say?
Who we pick? It's Cass. It's got to be.
Cass kicking his face off.
Shenanigans.
But Heel tactics. Is Kaz a cheater, though? Like, have we seen him do, like...
The Miz is going to come
how
out
many
and help
stuff
out.
When the ref's not looking?
How many Heely boots has he delivered to Daniel Bryan's feet? Heely boots.
He's a heel.
Heely boots. He's giving him mad boots to the face.
Mad boots to the face.
He is going to win via...
And I mean, and we can sell that because it's like, yo, this guy's had head injuries. Don't do that again. You know what
and
I mean?
And I mean, let's be real. Big Kaz is like 7 feet
tall. Well,
that's
if you're saying that you think that Kaz is going to go like... that route, like, do you think he's going to be that brutal in the match? Say he's going to kick him in the head and then set him up for another kick in the head? Like,
probably.
He's going to give him
and they'll like
ones?
Have to stop it or something.
But I guess I'm a big fan of Daniel
that
Bryan.
That could put him over.
I'm a big fan of Daniel Bryan fighting from underneath. So
pause.
Yep. But that's always been his deal.
Giggity. So I think that'll be
Right now Daniel Bryan is so over. I don't think people are really too. Care too much about him
Daniel
winning.
Bryan could
just
do
that
everything.
He's back in the ring.
We just want him in
short
the ring.
Of like kicking a baby, and he's still
going
to be.
Real talk though, going back,
he's like John
there was
Cena
a,
right now.
There was a dark match like a day or two.
He's bigger, he's bigger, I mean, more popular, and probably better than John Cena. Right?
And his,
I was reading
and his win loss record doesn't
that
matter.
There was a dark match a couple days ago. It was Shinsuke versus Daniel Bryan.
I like that
in the dark match.
Yeah,
think about if you could just be in that crowd and
damn,
watch that match.
A house show.
I want to see that.
That's
I saw
match.
A couple clips on Twitter.
Yeah,
it looked great.
I would
love
watch
to see that.
Well, speaking of that, who's gonna win the Shinsuke AJ match?
We getting there.
Chill. Oh, am I jumping down the
slow your roll?
Did I jump down the card?
Slow your roll.
Slow your roll.
Shut your mouth.
Lead Booker knows what he's doing. All right,
I'm getting there, bro.
The Rock says.
The SmackDown Women's Championship
hey,
first.
Hey, speaking of The Rock.
Carmella,
happy birthday,
No,
Rock.
SmackDown. So we got Carmella versus Charlotte. On SmackDown after Mania, Charlotte got attacked by the Iconics. This left her vulnerable. Carmella cashes in. I was actually excited to see that. That was fun.
And then this SmackDown episode, they had the Iconics and Carmella versus Straight Fire, Empress, and the Queen.
Okay. How was that match?
Well, Asuka won with Asuka Lock.
Trash guy.
Shut up. against one of the Iconics was Peyton Royce.
I don't agree with you about Asuka being trash, but she definitely ain't the only trash person out there. I do not fuck with these Iconic chicks, man.
I do.
I don't
know. No, Peyton Royce is dope.
I kind of like
so
them on the mic.
Because of what? Do you like the way they look or something?
I mean, they're
Peyton Royce like, delivers like a spinning heel kick.
Man, they deliver some spinning garbage on the mic, man.
They're good
I haven't
the
seen
mic.
A lot of them.
I like them on the mic.
I thought they were good on the mic, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't seen a lot of them.
You like the... Oh, do your such and such impression. Oh,
it's
I'm
heat.
Such and such.
It's that's heat.
And they, trash. Like, the crowd eats it up. Like,
yeah.
It works. Like, it's over.
I don't get
it's
it.
It's like bad impressions, but it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so who wins this, Carmella or Charlotte?
Carmella via shenanigans.
Carmella has to keep this title a while. She did a whole lot to get this title. She waited a long time.
Are her nameplates on that title?
I think Carmella's going to win also.
Has anyone seen
they just
her
put Nia's on.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yes. Nia got hers like two
just
weeks
now.
Later.
Shout out to you, Big Fine.
Which makes me wonder. What does that make you wonder?
If
she's not like
Nia those. Winning the title was a last second decision. Because normally what happens.
Getting that plate's ready.
Exactly. Because normally when the main title. You see the champion go back, and you see what? A little Allen wrench.
Yeah, yeah.
A little new plate.
There's a WWE.com video.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And Nia waited like
Nia's was
two, 3 weeks.
It was a wow.
Ooh. Very weird.
They just did it after Greatest Royal Rumble.
But damn, you know what? Just we're talking about Nia.
It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Woman crush Wednesday.
WCW. I was saying she was looking extra good on the Instagram.
Looking like a snack.
Let's
talking about
it's
flaws,
not a Matt Mania episode
man.
if Nia doesn't look like a snack.
Gosh, she looked
all right. So
good.
Do we all agree Carmella keeps this
shenanigans? Yeah,
that
too soon.
Princess.
Yeah, because I think they're going to build this her and
Iconics
versus
Charlotte
and Becky
Trashka.
Lynch and Asuka.
No.
For a little bit that we might get a three way.
I'm thinking a three way
at a pay per view,
which could
also
be build
building
up
to a Carmella and Iconics breakup. Because they're not really a team, but I feel like they're going to jump her at one point because they're going to want the title. So
yeah, Carmella's got to hold on for a minute. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, just to kind of throw a quick little tangent. This is kind of why I want to see tag team titles in the women's division. Because I feel like if they had tag team titles, there could be more
build-up.
They
don't have something to do.
Exactly, but when it's all about one title.
It's about time now.
Everything.
Yeah. It's going
to
happen.
They have enough women now. It's going
to
happen.
They do have enough women.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they were to announce a women's tag title at one of the next not SummerSlam but maybe either Survivor Series or they do it at Rumble or Mania next year.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's closer than
you
ever.
You want to know what Neo?
What up?
That what you just said made me think of the fact that, like, so with only one title in the women's division, everybody got to be focused on that title. If they're not, their side stories don't make sense. But why is that? Don't y'all remember when people used to have, like, people used to not like
lazy writing.
People used to not like each other, and titles didn't have to be involved, and it would just be like grudge matches. It would just be like this feud is going on,
it's not surrounded writing. It by doesn't the have title. To be around a title.
There's not any like captivated buildup for you to get
outside
invested.
Of the title.
Yeah, outside of the title. The only story that's remotely relevant is the Bailey and Sasha deal.
But you know, I was about to say because
I'm not tired of that though.
Because I was like that storyline is so poorly written that I don't even care for a payoff at this point.
Exactly, it's remotely relevant.
But I was gonna
say that's the only Ciampa one thing that's been doing without a title
because that could have been a great program.
Perfect example.
No gold involved in that now.
That could have been like a Gargano.
Oh yeah, you don't need. Yeah, that's what Sasha and Bayley should have been.
Yeah,
if they would have
out
milked
for
that,
blood.
They you probably didn't trust Sasha staying healthy. It was probably something like that where they were like, "Oh, we don't know if you're going to stay healthy." Blah blah. And
she really has that stigma around her, doesn't she?
I feel like she does. I mean, they don't really want to invest in her.
The only thing you're getting is like,
but she
likes to fly out of the ring and land on her knees and elbows.
And honestly, in that story, the only thing you're getting is like rolling your eyes. Bad dog looks. That's all you're getting in that story.
Yeah, boring. And you're still getting this will they, won't they, which is will what they which is what they shut down with AJ and Shinsuke. That was like, no, we have a heel, we have a face. Like, you know what you're going with this. It's like,
they won't turn one of them.
We want
and they
Sasha
have that
because
I think Sasha's the heel.
Sasha needs to turn all the way.
But she needs to turn all the way.
She's too popular. She won't,
they're
won't
not doing
turn
it.
The
they're
way.
Still acting like 1 week that she's like, oh, well, we're
she'd be a great heel, though.
She was a good heel.
She was a best heel in NXT.
Sasha heel for sure.
She was a heel.
Best heel in NXT.
Kill.
Okay, women's championship on Raw. We got Alexa versus Nia. Alexa is playing this victim role where Nia is
the moment of bliss.
Her.
Nia
the moment
is
of
bliss.
I saw
her.
Cool. I saw Nia Jax with two turkey legs eating in each hand, saying that I couldn't ride the teacups. I was like, yo,
oh my
this
god, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Nia.
So Nia wins this one.
Yeah, Nia.
They better.
She's got her plates now.
They better not take the strap off of her now.
It's
not
too
yet.
Soon.
Not yet. Especially too because she's been so dominant in the ring, it's kind of hard to see her losing without shenanigans.
You're getting pistol whipped.
So who beats Nia?
Ronda.
Yeah.
That's the logical opponent.
At Mania
or you know what? Or
Mania.
Or you know what? You maybe Ember Moon gets a push.
Maybe.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Before Ronda.
But Ronda's,
yeah.
I mean,
see,
what is Ronda doing?
What did
doing?
You say, Ronda at Mania? Because I was going to say Nia, expect
no,
her
Nia
to hold the
make
title.
It to Mania.
No, expect her to hold the title for a minute.
I hate to say it. She won't make it to Mania. Maybe
Nia?
Nia.
Yeah, oh, with the strap?
I don't think she'll make it that
SummerSlam,
long.
Maybe.
She may survive SummerSlam, maybe drop it at like Survivor Series.
Yeah, but drop it to who?
Ronda. And you know what? Ronda could be at, well, they may want to save Ronda's first title match for Mania. Which makes sense.
But right now,
or SummerSlam.
Right now, Ronda's getting that rub with Natty.
I think
she's
learning right now.
But they're gonna. I think they're gonna break them up and have that be a.
That's gonna be a program for
before.
You know what? Though?
Natty
before
has
she
to
would
turn
come for the go.
You know,
because Natty is actually a heel.
I might like that, and I think that Ronda could probably wrestle pretty damn well against Natty. I think it would be a good. It would be good. Like technically, good.
Natty would kind of carry her and make that
so
a really
good. So we could
probably
see a clinic come out of that.
Yeah, and then we're saying that it's also like they're friends for real. So
they are friends for real.
Them being able to practice and get comfortable with.
Well,
I mean,
she trained. Mm-hmm. She was helping to train Ronda initially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really dope.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story.
So is that on the network yet? Because I know is Ronda's thing on the network yet?
The 24? I thought it was.
Is it?
I thought there was a 24.
I gotta watch that.
All right. So they're saying that's a good plan for her, but
I can see
what do
that.
You guys think about the fact that they're saying like so Ronda's supposed to be at every Raw, but if she's at the Raw not doing anything, should she be at Raw? Like if she was just in Natty's corner, or what did she do? She chased
somebody
around.
Sells shirts.
At some point they are going to have to put her in the ring and let her wrestle one on one with somebody. Right?
At some point.
Yeah.
They can't keep her outside of the ring until a pay-per-view.
Yeah, has she never had a one-on-one?
No,
she's
never had a match other than her tag
Mania.
Team
yeah.
with
so,
Kurt.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, what is
it's going to be with Natty.
What is she supposed to be doing?
It'll be with Natty.
It's got to happen
are they going to hold that for a pay-per-view?
Yep.
Like,
that's
her first one-on-one match isn't going to be until...
It won't be on a Raw. I don't think it'll be on a Raw.
Damn, so what is it going to be? Was it SummerSlam?
Well, you have to think about it.
It might just be a regular pay-per-view.
Ronda is still an attraction, right?
What's after Backlash?
She's still an attraction. Whatever that is.
Great American Bash.
Great Balls of Fire.
No, there's no Great Balls of Fire this year.
I don't even know what the
So we don't know what they're going to call it. But In Your House.
Or the May pay-per-view is anymore.
Judgment Day.
Is it Judgment Day?
I don't know. But that would be
dope. Is it Armageddon? Or is that old?
They don't really do that anymore. That's old.
Going way back.
All right, U.S. Championship. Yes. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Who wins?
Don't care.
RKO out of nowhere.
It's kind of
Swanton into an RKO. Yeah. Yo, that would be dope.
Don't put it past creative.
Wait a minute.
They love giving Randy Orton the setup. So a Swanton into the RKO.
That would be kind of hard, though. I just imagine him breaking his neck. Like, I can't imagine that working out anyway.
Jeff's going to win.
I'll say Jeff.
He's going to go over on Randy.
I say Jeff.
Yeah, he's too fresh over on the SmackDown roster.
It doesn't matter.
I'll just say Jeff.
This match has no build.
And also, Randy is in a place where it doesn't matter. Like, I don't want to see him with the belt.
Randy don't matter. He don't care about nothing.
He don't care about the belt.
He just hears voices in his head. That's all.
So here's the thing. Randy Orton never got his rematch from Bob Roode.
Booby Roode.
Back in the day. So maybe Orton will win this. I don't know. So anyway, next.
Bob the Dude Roode.
Intercontinental title, Seth Rollins versus Awesome, The Miz. All right, story thus far is that at Mania, Miz had to defend in the triple threat.
Yes,
Rollins won. Miz wants that rematch. He got a rematch, sort of, as part of this Greatest Royal Rumble ladder match. But he didn't win. He was still entitled to a rematch somehow. And now Rollins defeated Balor on Raw, and now he wants to defend against Miz, who is now on SmackDown.
Who is now a Hokage.
Do we all agree that Miz is not winning this?
Wait, is Miz versus who?
Seth Rollins.
Miz is going to lose, and then Miz is going to go take some baby bonding time.
What if the Miz
loses,
uses his jutsu
his what?
To trap
his anime.
Gesundheit.
His anime.
He uses his wall jutsu and entraps Seth Rollins into like a casket using his jutsu and then he takes the pin.
In that case, we got Hokage Miz wins.
Hokage Miz.
And at that moment, Rock had no idea what was going on.
Rock faded away like a Marvel character.
Like Thanos went.
Hey, spoilers. Okay. I hope you all saw it. Okay, so now.
We're
no
90
DQ.
Minutes in, no apologies.
Marvel tangent time.
Right. 90 minutes in, now let's talk Marvel. Now, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, no DQ, WWE Championship, low blows, legal all day.
Go, Rock.
Dick Punch Central.
What do you got? No speak English.
Okay, there you go.
Are you saying that you're not picking? Or are you saying you're picking no speaking English?
I want to see. I would like to see Shinsuke win. I don't know if I want to see him win at Backlash though.
As far as being no DQ, do y'all think anybody else? Do you think it'll be any Anderson and Gallows interference?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Club reunion.
Because after he got kicked in the face twice, I would think that he would want to come out and.
You think they're at a point Anderson, where they would have AJ have help?
Anderson took that bullet.
It's not for AJ to have help, but it would be to get him back. And also to watch his back from getting
I think that only happens
shot
if,
in the nuts.
If we see some shenanigans from Nakamura.
Okay, so that's what will happen. So if AJ gets low blowed, crowd's booing, and then they come out to be like, not right. Don't be doing that, you know?
And then they do whatever their team finisher is.
But there's no DQ, so it's
Magic Killer.
Everything works.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then Shinsuke calls...
come on!
He calls Hideo and Akira Tozawa. And then you have the Japanese versus the Good Brothers.
And then, and then Okada appears out of nowhere.
Yo, I would faint. Okay, speaking of which, because I think that's the last match. Ladies and gentlemen... Yeah, that's the last match. It's only 8 matches.
Oh,
a short card.
Because Brock doesn't wrestle on.
Brock's not showing up.
Irrelevant pay per views.
Yeah.
No.
Speaking of Bullet Club, it is the 5th anniversary of Bullet Club.
May 4th?
I had
4th?
A question about that being
May 4th?
Asked. Yeah,
May
yeah. 4th? Next week.
Today. No, it's today the 3rd.
No, today.
Yeah. It's today?
Today's Bullet Club Day.
Best any Bullet Club memories? What do you think of when you think Bullet Club?
My first Bullet Club memory was when one of my favorite Bullet Club memories is when AJ was fighting, what's Kenny Omega's partner right now? Kota Ibushi. Ibushi. So AJ was fighting Kota Ibushi, and this is the time when Kenny Omega climbed up upon the apron to try to distract Kota Ibushi. However, his heart of hearts told him otherwise. But he distracted him enough to where when Kota Ibushi went for the high fly move, he got caught and he got hit into a Styles Clash. And that solidified that match. That's one of my favorite memories. The other favorite memory is when Finn Balor actually, or Prince Devitt at the time, finally announced the Bullet Club, which was another one of my fondest memories. And then the time when they had like all the gold.
Man, you gonna take all the?
They
memories.
Had all the gold. Right.
Oh yeah. Okay, I was gonna say that when they had all the gold. See, yeah. That's like that's my memory. Like when I think Bullet Club, I think like everybody with gold and being gold like, one "Dang, time. That was dope." Woo. Also, I didn't really start watching until late, but when AJ got the boot, that was probably like one of the first times I watched, and I was just like, "Yo,
that's okay, funny." Because I was gonna say my memory is probably a more recent one, but it was when Adam Cole got the boot and Marty Scurll joined. And then he had Adam Cole's neck with the umbrella, and then he got the double super kick from the from the Young Bucks.
Like when Marty was doing the gun to Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Adam Cole became a ghost.
The umbrella, and the umbrella had the Bullet Club.
Yeah, that was dope.
Logo on it.
When Adam Cole became a ghost.
He's dead.
So sorry that we're bringing up.
I also like Cody Rhodes' intro. When they announced him in New Japan,
that was dope.
You know that whole limousine, the whole limousine vignette. That was dope.
That was dope. They definitely like set him up where you were like, okay, Cody's a big deal.
Yeah.
Dan, you watch any New Japan? You mess with any New Japan wrestling?
Put me on a spot like that.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry. Just asking.
Hey, you see my hat?
I know. He rocking Ric Flair.
What about you, Rocky? You got any Bullet Club memories?
I'm rather new, honestly, because I just literally kind of found out about them like maybe a year ago. So I've only seen minimal stuff. It's cool.
Anything that stands out?
Not really, because I'm not that well versed in New Japan.
Right on.
We got to put
like,
you on.
I've
to
seen
it.
Like seven matches.
Nah. Everybody getting whenever somebody gets kicked out, that's a dope moment. So like we said,
it's like you get jumped out.
Yeah, Finn getting kicked out, AJ getting kicked out.
Those are always Adam big Cole moments to me because you know like something big's about to happen when that happens. So shout out to those guys continuing to keep the Bullet Club name going and
the Bullet Club's getting, for everyone
getting
and,
bigger
and
better.
They only leave
it is for everyone.
That's they Corey, only leave to go on a bigger and better thing. So
true.
It's also
so
dope,
question.
You know,
I'm gonna run
Bullet
around
Club
the table. Who's next, in the words of Goldberg? Who, if you could pick, who would be the next Bullet Club member to step up to the E?
I mean, it's been...
All right. Come on now.
Let's go around. Who would it be?
I've been thinking it's going to be Flip Gordon. Like, that's who I've been thinking it's going to be. Like, it's probably... It has to be Flip Gordon. The way he's been tagging with the Bucks on ROH recently.
Yeah.
And the pictures that he's been posting with, Adam Page.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my gut tells me Flip Gordon is going to be the next Bullet Club member. But hey, the last Bullet Club member was Stephen Amell from Arrow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Technically.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
I think it's going to be Marty. I don't see why WWE wouldn't want to put their money into him.
Yeah.
His entrance is so crazy.
Oh, are you asking
who goes to WWE?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you were way off on that. But I was like, Flip Gordon, really?
I thought Flip was with the
he
club.
He probably
and I
will
know,
get
then,
kicked
so
out,
like,
but,
no,
but I don't know.
I was like, okay, let me go look up Flip Gordon.
Oh, were you just talking about who was getting kicked out?
But I don't know if he would come to
no,
the WWE.
No, I was
WWE.
Thinking who's going to be the next Bullet Club member.
Oh, like member, because he's been so close for all this time.
No, he was saying who's going to leave the Bullet Club to go to WWE. I think it's going to be Marty.
You think Marty would be the next one they
pop? I think if he showed up like on some like everything goes black and then his entrance pops like
NXT or NXT or the main show.
No, he'll go straight
or
to 205.
That means a small dude.
Did you guys see the latest Being the Elite show?
Oh no, I didn't. I meant
there was a little excerpt that on the whiteboard where it says Bucks to 205 Live and a question mark. Yeah.
Yo, I like how they play with that kind
but
of
yeah,
stuff.
But everybody is small. Like everybody could be on 205 Live.
I fear Ricochet could go to 205 Live,
you know.
The only heavyweights are Cody,
Kenny, Page.
And Adam.
Yeah, I was gonna say
technically.
Oh, and what
the Young Bucks are
what
becoming
about the,
heavyweights, but
the what'd you call it? the guy dudes.
Oh, Fale and
yeah, I'm like they're bigger guys, but
Fale and Tama Tonga.
They play the background.
But they're not. They're probably not going anywhere. Yeah.
No, they're Bullet Club for life, man.
For life. All right, so we are toward the end, but I had one question, and man, it's a doozy. So I'm gonna try our best to cover it quickly, but it's because it's from Veronica, friend of the show, who also does a lot of our YouTube editing. Now, here's the question.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to ask about Kanye's breakdown, what he calls a breakthrough, and how this correlates with black male behavior.
Dude, he got blasted.
In regards to ego and insufficient support from the peers or fans until the moment where it feels too late, and how that affects you as an artist and your voice. Sorry if this is a rather complex question.
Wow, and how that ties into wrestling?
No, there's no tie in the wrestling, okay. Sorry. This isn't the first time I've seen someone, notably a black man, lose his stream of reasonable reality due to ego, drugs, lack of criticism due to his line of work, and lose touch so bad that it's damaging to his own community, or worse, damaging for their family. These men don't have to be famous, however. How Kanye is acting is very familiar of stubborn behavior of family, who I was once close to, and I think that I'm realizing a recurring pattern. Okay.
Man.
Let's try to unpack this, because this is a lot.
Yeah.
What's she saying? We all know about Kanye and what he's been saying and doing and how you feel about it, because
slaves are okay.
Everybody's talking about it. So I probably can't add anything to that discussion.
You know,
I've
been trying to stay away from.
That's good.
From off the social media good and luck, everything, because it's just so much. Everybody is talking about Kanye.
Like, man, I saw Joe Budden's podcast, top Kanye West is done. Like, everybody's podcast, Kanye West is the title. So this one will be called Kanye West Backlash.
Yeah.
no, just kidding.
Backlash.
Like I said last week, I'm aware, and I think everybody's aware, he's trolling to a degree. My thing is, the things that he's saying, to me, crosses the line between a troll and somebody who may, in fact, be completely lost.
Well, have you heard the Kanye West TMZ deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't get away from it.
I don't want to know. Like, I don't know if I believe none of, like, that's completely genuine and not staged, though. It's TMZ. Yeah.
True.
Because homie, like, dissected it, like, and chopped him up.
I saw somebody say that was only, like, part of it, and then that the next day, which I guess would have been today, that they put out the full interview. So,
I haven't seen the whole thing. I just seen a bunch of different pieces. But, all right. But anyway, what I was getting to is this question isn't about Kanye, but it's more about what she's saying is male behavior in regards to ego and maybe insufficient support from peers or fans, and how maybe the lack of good friends around him could be kind of directing this.
You got to wonder the people who are in his inner circle, how they're reacting. I know we're seeing like screenshotted pictures from like John Legend. Yeah,
about how his inner circle is.
So like, you kind of got to wonder like what those people like. Okay, so who's really close to Kanye? That's going to be who?
Kim.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because I'm probably thinking that the people that
were probably it. He fired his manager.
Right.
That the people that were closest to him aren't those people anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I mean,
you know, when you see stuff like what's their mom is supposed to be taking over his management.
Kim? Oh, God. Chris
taking over.
Really? Jesus Christ.
So you got to think, like, this guy is.
So that's who he's close to.
He's a full-on Kardashian.
But at the same
time,
I'm reading that a lot of the Kardashians are, like, unfollowing him on Twitter and, like, not following what he's saying.
The only problem is, and this is a point that's been made by numerous people, Kanye really only comes out and says anything when he's trying to sell something.
So can I ask you a
question? Yeah.
All right, so.
Who are you, man?
All right.
Tell the people who you are.
My name is Dan Lewis. I just
intern here at DigiLab Studios.
You're helping us out.
You already know.
Appreciate you, Dan. We wanted to give you a moment.
Yeah. Friend of the show.
I've been listening, and I just want to kind of bring this to the table. Just like you was just saying right now, is Kanye only comes out to the light when he wants to sell something. So do you really think that he believes what he's talking about, or is he just talking out of his ass to sell and promote an album that he knows he's about to drop? He's got two albums coming out, one with Cudi, and that's, then won by himself. So
yeah, that, 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 but here's the issue.
Partial of the backlash ain't because isn't because of that, and I'm sorry. No, it's because of who Kanye was and what he used to speak for.
Okay.
That's what the backlash is.
Yeah.
The same Kanye that said George Bush don't care about black people, like that one, the same one that made Jesus walk.
He really shit on Kanye, he really shit on Barry, bro.
Hold on, like that Kanye.
That's a big part of
the,
it. I think
Kanye that we believed in, so that we backed him and put our money behind him and put him in the space that he is. But to see, now feel like that we're being shitted on, it's. We can't stop a person from being who they is who they are, but we can decide to support them with our dollars.
That's what I'm
not.
Saying. And I think what he's saying, if he's saying this to get record sales, he's going to have the reverse effect because it's not going to make me want to buy it.
Yeah, I don't know how well
and most fans
do.
Are saying that this is turning them against supporting him. So maybe he'll get the alt-right fans, and this will be the alt-right
is that gonna,
anthem.
That'll pick up the slack.
And maybe somebody told him, look, it's simple math, bro. Like, Trump won, so obviously – his train of thought, his school of thought is the majority. Mm-hmm. So if you cater to them, platinum album again. Yeah. You know what I mean? So maybe if that's what he's trying to do, but
like
this
a
is
marketing ploy?
This is something you can't
but that's
teeter
what we're
with.
Talking this about. It's Kanye all a marketing
bro.
Ploy.
Trolling
he
has
only,
a limit. And
he
even
only
if this is
trolling,
selling.
If he only came out on Twitter because he's promoting something, then it's a marketing ploy.
But exactly. So the one thing I did want to say is – I'm not going to sit here and justify what Kanye has said because this motherfucker came out here and was just talking crazy. This dude just said that slavery was a choice.
Right.
It was pretty much okay.
Like, Jesus. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But,
so that's not trolling. That's like irresponsible thought is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you shouldn't be putting, you should,
that
a person of his influence shouldn't be putting that out
exactly,
there.
Exactly, exactly. So now that's kind of where we got to build.
Well,
let
him finish that. Let him finish.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. that's just kind of where I want to build the line from, like, promoting an album and, like, getting your name out there and, like, showing up on TMZ, being able to talk your shit, being able to tweet something and make sure everybody online is talking about your name. You know
Kanye's
I mean?
Big enough where he could have literally not said a word and did a sneak drop, and it would have been crazy.
Exactly.
He could
also Beyonce
Kanye
shit.
Could do sneak drops for his sneakers, his clothing, because you know why? There's people who are going to buy it because he's Kanye.
Exactly.
The problem is now he's coming out and he's going completely left. And I think he's going to turn a lot of people and a large part of his fan base may or may not show out. The only problem is, though, we're not going to know that till the album comes out and we see the numbers.
Yeah.
I want to read Murr's tweet and leave it at that. Yeah. Shout out to Murr's, the big homie. Friend of the
I'm
show.
I'm going to leave right now, though. Hey.
Yo, thanks a lot, bro. Appreciate you dropping in.
Thanks for listening to me.
No doubt. Thank you, man. This is it, and then we're going to end on this, and then we're going to play the Titus O'Neil song. You can cue that up if you can, Teague. As you know, Murr's has a song you might know from his album last year called
Friend
God Bless Kanye
Thank
West.
Thank you, Murr's.
Now, the song is not necessarily about Kanye West. It's about kids growing up in the city who maybe dealt with depression and not knowing how to have their outlet. And so he says in the chorus, God bless Kanye West and any other kid going through stress. You know what I mean? So anyway, he says, I put this out over a year ago. Not as a huge Kanye fan. I'm more of a medium-sized fan. But mostly I wanted to show support for another artist who I saw struggling. Mental health issues and all. But now, I don't believe he's struggling in the same way. Now, the struggle is with himself and with people trying to assassinate his character simply because they disagree with him. Remember to be civil. If you can't find it in your heart to be kind, watch the whole interview. Consider the source. Read his tweets. Read all of his tweets. Then form an opinion and speak your truth. Mm. Or if you don't have time for all that, realize how little it's affecting your life and move on.
Move on.
For me personally, I find the new Ye inspiring and extremely interesting and less dangerous if he ever was that. But at the end of the day, that's just my opinion. You're entitled to yours. Let's not resort to name calling and attacking each other. It's not that serious. So I said it once. I'll say it again. God bless Kanye West. Peace. And there it is.
And that will wrap up a long edition of the Matt Mania podcast.
Long form.
What you got to say about
this
that,
Rand? It's going to be fun to edit. I don't even want to comment. I just want to read it.
No,
yeah, that's good.
No, what do you have to say about you being here and the time, the
this
length
was
of the
important.
Episode?
We talked about important stuff. We did a little wrestling, and we brought in guests. So shout out to Kevin and Mr. West for coming through. NoxiousTheMovie.com.
Yep.
Go Vinark MP and Dan the Man holding us down, of course, on the boards. We're going to let you go with a very funny song.
Yeah.
That was written by. Can you shout them out for me? Probably in the description.
What's the name of
Andrew David Cox?
I know how to work
there
YouTube.
There we go. He knows how to work a YouTube.
In the name, it doesn't say his
name. Oh, okay. Shout out to Andrew David Cox, who wrote ADCs of Wrestling, and he did the Titus World Slide song, which I thought was very funny. So
World
we're going to take you out on that.
And y'all want to give out y'all, y'all socials real quick before we play
Oh,
this?
You know. It's at Megaran.
It's at the NeoX.
Teak underscore Hall.
And at Rock Knowledge, and we managed to not do any Avengers Infinity War talk, so y'all got lucky this week, but next week, we're coming for y'all. We got to talk.
You better have seen it by next week.
Yeah,
we
no
going
excuses.
In.
We're just going to start leaking spoilers
all
on
Avengers
Mad Mania Twitter.
Yeah. Did you see Tom Holland, like, spoiling the movie by accident on an interview?
No.
And, like, Benedict Cumberbatch has to stop him, stop, chill. Yeah. He's, like, really spoiling the movie. But anyway, next week, if you haven't seen it, too bad. So, as always, ladies and gentlemen, keep
your shoulders off the mat.
Chill.
We out.
When you whisper in my ear, at number 39, my music starts to play. I get excited. Everyone in Jeddah's here. That Rumble Trophy's mine. It's gonna be my year. I feel it coming. Hoorah, just tripped on something. Oh God, I'm underneath the ring. Titus World Slide. Oops. World Slide. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. Nothing happened. Everything's fine. Darkness forms around me. I can see under the ring. Under the ring is beautiful. Oh God, I'm gonna get buried. By Michael Cole, by way of Vince McMahon.
Ha 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 ha! Replay the fall.
I'm never gonna live this down.
Damn it. Damn it.